Everybody, Rob here. Before we get started on Survivor's funniest family visit moments with Mike Bloom and Lindsay Wilson, let me tell you about our friends over at HelloFresh, who are helping you get ready, whether it's a family visit for dinner or just you and the people at your house. Because with HelloFresh, you get fresh, pre-measured ingredients and mouth-watering seasonal recipes delivered right to your door. And HelloFresh lets you skip all those trips to the grocery store to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. HelloFresh cuts out stressful meal planning and grocery store trips so you can enjoy cooking and get dinner on the table in about 30 minutes or less. You'll get better value too. HelloFresh is 28% cheaper than shopping at your local grocery store and 72% cheaper than a restaurant meal or takeout without sacrificing the quality. HelloFresh is going to offer you the flexibility that you need with customizable orders every week that are going to be perfect for the whole family. It's such a treat whenever we get the box from HelloFresh that we get everything organized in its own bag with all the ingredients that we need. Get to make things like Southwestern shrimp tacos, sweet soy pork tenderloin, balsamic fig chicken. It's very easy to follow all of the recipes. It makes any night home into something special, whether it's for a date night or a night with the whole family. HelloFresh is going to make your meal times more exciting. And HelloFresh has a great offer for you to give it a shot. Go to HelloFresh.com/RHAP12. And use the promo code RHAP12 for 12 free meals, including free shipping. That's HelloFresh.com/RHAP12 with promo code RHAP12 for 12 free meals, including free shipping. You're going to love HelloFresh. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Sesternino back here to talk about Survivor's most arbitrary and reductive. Here are another round of Outwit, Outplay, Outlist, where today we are going to be ranking a Survivor's funniest family visits of all time. And here with my co-pilot, my loved one who's here, Rob, what's it like getting to podcast with Mike Bloom?
I mean, you could also ask that question to many people in the RHAP network as well. I am so happy to be here, Rob. Always happy to bring back some Triple O. But today, we're not just talking about lists. We're talking about love.
Yes. All right. And we are here with a woman who had the idea to rank Survivor's most memorable, funny, loved ones visits. The great Lindsay Wilson. Lindsay, how are you?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Yes. Okay. Lindsay of many podcasts. Let me see if I can rattle them off. Okay. Of course. BoJack Horse Pod with Kirsten yes. McInnes. Simpsons Then and Now. Do I have that right?
That's right. You nailed it.
Yes. Is there another one, Mike?
I don't think so, but Lindsay loves some adult animation rewatches. That seems to be your wheelhouse besides Oral Histories of Podcasts.
Yes, Oral History of the Sleepover Podcast, the great Lindsay Wilson, who once upon a time, she and I went through a list of the top 10 most awkward Jeff Probst finale moments.
Yeah, awkward reunion moments.
So, yes, which I think is combined, you know, a number of things that we've listed already.
Yes, definitely.
Yes. Okay. Lindsay, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm very excited about this. I think we can take comfort knowing that if we get stuck, we can just ask ourselves, what would Billy Joel do? That'll get us through this. It's going to be fun, I think.
Okay. All right. Mike, how have you been?
I've been doing well. Thank you for asking. A lot of fantastic stuff going on in both the scripted and reality TV spheres. You know, things are blooming very strong. I was very luckily able to get both doses of the Pfizer COVID vaccine in the past
week. So jealous.
So I'm fully inoculated. I have immunity the necklace is around
Mike
here.
Mike has immunity. Spin and Finish. Grin.
Yes. Exactly. Put that necklace on me. I tried to ask the doctor to do that, but they were very confused. I wish they had been a Survivor fan. It really would have rang much better with them. They're more of a fan of the challenge, most likely.
All right. So we've got our big board. We have a four different tiers that we're going to place things in to help us with our rankings. Those tiers are worth playing for. My life is fine. Ain't no Hershey bar. And forget you. Go home. Goodbye. We're going to go through these different loved ones visits that were submitted to us. Many of them from the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast in the critically acclaimed Rob Has a Podcast patron Facebook group, which our Rob Has a Podcast patrons get access to. A great place to source a lot of content for Rob Has a Podcast feedback. So we're going to get into that. Mike, anything else to set up here at the top of the show?
Yeah, so I'll put in a few disclaimers, as always, to start this off. So looking at the title of this, as was indicated, these are all going to be moments around the loved one's visit in Survivor that has become a staple. Nowadays, it takes up about like half the episode proper that it's in. So all these are going to be moments focused around loved ones in Survivor. They may be, you know, introducing the loved ones when they went out. It might be during the loved one's challenge. It might be the reward that the loved ones go on afterwards. It might even be in the form of like a video or a letter with the loved ones not physically being there. But it's going to be representing a touch of home. That being said, I think the key word in the title of this podcast is funniest, especially talking with Lindsay about this beforehand. Of course, the loved ones visit, again, is a hallmark of each and every Survivor season. But man, it would be the biggest comparison of apples and oranges to compare Johnny Fairplay and Thunder D with Adam Klein and his brother, or Jeremy finding out that he was having a boy. You know, I think that the loved ones visit, the great thing about it is it does encapsulate funny stuff, but also some incredibly sweet stuff as well. I think we're gonna sort of put the ladder in.
I like the way you set that up, because that was very like Probstian. Like the thing about the loved ones visit is that it encapsulates the comedic moments of the relationship, but also with the sentimentality of it. I can't say it as well as you did.
If you had a journal and you wrote down what the loved one's visit meant to you, it covered an entire page. So suffice it to say, the moments we're talking about today are going to be on the lighter side. They're going to be more comedic. Let's also say that I think any loved ones that we talk about in this, we do not mean that these are no personal attacks against the loved ones in question. These people
always helps to say.
Yeah, we were brave enough to put themselves out there, especially those that were not actually elected to play in the first place. They're merely there to support a loved one who did. So, you know, a mea culpa in advance that we do not mean to make any attacks against the loved ones that are featured on this. And a final thing I'll mention is just in advance, because I know that we'll probably get responses. Where's Aunt Patty? Where's Emily? Here's the thing. Bryce Isaiah is the King Midas of RAJP. Everything he touches turns to gold.
Purple gold.
But I think we need to sort of separate out things that became great due to RAJP versus moments that sort of stand on their own. I mean, Rob, you saw Ghost Island.
Sometimes a moment becomes great because of RAJP. Other times, some moments were great instantly.
Because of Bryce Isaiah. Yes. Here comes Bryce. Mm-hmm. He was on the edge of extinction the entire time. So, I mean, Rob, you recently watched Ghost Island out of all of them. I think you can firsthand say that Aunt Patty is a peach, but I don't think there's anything about her appearance on Survivor Ghost Island that would warrant a spot in here without Bryce reciting her name memorably.
Yeah, I mean, that she doesn't do anything that is particularly funny. I think she does threaten to kill Dominic Abate if he crosses her, but I wouldn't say it's like hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that was a little bit of a spoiler for how Donathan would ultimately vote in the end. So suffice it to say, apologies that the more mimetic, I think, loved ones might be missing from here, but I think we've cut a nice wide swath through 40 seasons of Survivor and nearly 40 seasons of loved ones.
Yes. And Lindsay, what was it about the loved ones that appealed to you to come up with the idea for this episode?
I think it's kind of similar to why I wanted to do the awkward reunion moments thing, where I like things that are like unintentionally funny. And especially now. Like, Jeff wants those moments to be so heartwarming and so meaningful. And I love when they're funny instead. Mm-hmm. Like, someone does something absurd and you're just like, oh, I see. Like, this was supposed to be incredibly sad or moving, and someone does something just ridiculous, and yeah, then it's iconic in the moment. And I really love that. So unintentional comedy. There's a lot of that here, I think.
And of course, I am locked in. I have watched 10 seasons of Survivor already in 2021. I will be talking about another one the Wednesday night when I'm going to another iconic loved one's visit in Survivor Karamoan. And I'll be talking with Allie Lasher and Uncle Kiwi. And we'll do that on Wednesday night when we take a look at the 30th best season of Survivor Karamoan.
Yeah, apologies. I do not believe that Cochran's dad being cool and flipping hamburgers. I think it just made the short list on this one.
Okay. Yeah, I had that on my maybe list as well.
It's not on the barge right now.
All right. Mike, how do you want to handle this? Chronologically, or you have another way to attack this?
No, I think we'll go chronologically here. And as is wont to do on an outwit, outplay, outlist, we start things off with Greg Buis. It seems like we're always going back to this guy as the first entry in nearly every one of these installments. But Greg, alongside all the final nine of Survivor Borneo, was there for the first family moment on the show, which was everyone sans Jenna Lewis receiving a tape from their family members. Greg got one from his sister Julie that is quite literally indescribable, and Lindsay was making reference to it before, so I'm just gonna play the thing and we'll talk through it.
If it's gonna be funny, which I figured it would, I thought other people might get a kick out of it. Like, at least she could provide entertainment for other people.
Mooka looka mau mau ping ping. How are you? I miss you very much. That's right, ping ping. How's Xanton?
Well, I didn't think Greg's tape was unusual. I expected that and was excited by it. You could tell she was having fun and knew that he would laugh at what she was doing, and I was laughing. I loved it.
Any circumstance you find yourself in, you're not sure what to do. You're in a quandary. You're in a pickle. You're in a bind. Think what Billy Joel would do. Think about it. What would Billy Joel do? Anything. Let's talk about who's probably sleeping on the island right now. I'll bet all the giant, scary spiders are sleeping.
That's how Mom used to put us to sleep.
Tomorrow.
All the animals are sleeping.
You make Mama proud. You make Mama really proud. Just remember who loves you. Sisters.
I definitely see Greg differently now after seeing his video and attaching a little bit of a family with him. At least we know he's not the only screwball in his family. Maybe it's a genetic trait over there.
Good crack from Dr. Sean to finish off that clip.
Right, right. I can't believe how much they aired of that.
It's a full minute and a half, and it's a montage too. They put in the music, Russ Landau music, to be like between the and what would BJ do.
Yeah. I think what's incredible to me about it too is that, like, that sad music is playing in it because they're like juxtaposing it with Jenna Lewis tragically shooting at the archery target while this absurdity is happening behind her.
This is wild. Do we think, Mike, that the what would Billy Joel do was like some sort of like coded message that was sent to Greg, perhaps like in the song titles of Billy Joel songs, like honesty
or like start the fire?
Start the fire.
Exactly.
Yeah. So maybe, you know, there's some other song titles that might
make Tribal Council a scene from an Italian restaurant.
Yeah, tell her about it. Like, don't keep any secrets.
So. Do you have an uptown girl, Greg?
Hmm. So
who you've been going into the jungle with? Are you? But I mean, we found out in this episode, right, that Greg's going to be moving out pretty shortly.
Very soon. Very soon after that. Yeah. So this is really bizarre.
Yeah, I should also let me also throw in a bonus here, because I think this should count in the moment as well. Yes, so please. Greg, in winning the challenge, gets to make a video back, which I think is the only time they ever do this, that you have the ability to say, all right, you can send a video back now as a reward. And with Jeff Probst behind the camera himself, this is the video that Greg decides to make.
You're on, buddy.
Okay. Hi, Julie. I just want to say, you know, it was really special for you to send me and everybody here what you did. We feel like we could feel you and we felt you. Some of us felt you and others just imagine what it's like to feel you.
I can't understand a guy talking to his sister that way. It sounded like Greg was talking maybe incest. That's the way it sounded to me.
Why not make allusions? It crosses all those borders. God, what are people going to think? And then sexual allusions for my sister? What's going to happen?
Julie, we got to put up with this for about 2 more weeks, and then we might kill him. Is that doing you a favor?
Good work, Rudy.
Good job, Rudy.
I think we know who Greg's favorite Game of Thrones characters were.
How was this on television?
This was season one, right? Reality TV breaking down people at its core, including making references to feeling your sister.
Like, there was nobody in the room that was like, I don't know if we could use this.
Even Rudy explicitly calling it out.
Yeah.
Like, this is fine.
Any of this is like, this is nonsense. This doesn't make any sense to have this in the show. Why is this here?
Yeah. See, at least the Julie side of things is like strange, and you could extrapolate certain things, right? The fact that she keeps making kissy faces. I do believe she like gesticulates a bit at the end there as well, but it's more so playful in like a brother sister way with the nicknames. Greg just goes like outright euphemistic with it. And he says in his confessional, like, yeah, sure. Why don't I make jokes about the fact that I may or may not be romantically attracted to my sister? It's just the mystery man that I am.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Should we look at the board?
Let's put this weirdness up on the board to really start things off. Setting a bar.
I don't know what to do with this. Okay. All right. So Greg and a video from his sister that I don't think it's the bottom tier. Forget you, go home, goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
I think Rudy saves it from being on the bottom, honestly.
Yeah.
I do like, to Lindsay's point, I love everyone reacting to it, between Rich saying like, this does not surprise me in the least, to Sean getting in a wisecrack, to Rudy outright saying this is incest.
Yeah. But I think that's the thing about Richard Hatch that I would like to see. Is there ever a thing that happens on Survivor where Richard Hatch is like, I am legitimately shocked that that happened? I think that Richard Hatch is always like, I totally knew this was going to happen. This doesn't surprise me. Like, I called this from a mile away. It's not surprising that this happened.
Good luck to anybody who has to throw a surprise party for Richard Hatch.
I knew before.
Saw the streamers lined up. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I think of the ones we're talking about today, not to preview what's to come, I do think it's one of the more memorable ones. It is just so out there. I think it's safe to say, guys, that in 40 seasons of Survivor, only really once has it been alluded to that a brother and sister, neither of whom is the parent, might have romantic relations with one another. So it certainly stands out in that regard.
I think right here in the Ain't No Hershey Bar tier is a good place for it right now to start. And let's see where the rest of it falls in around this.
That seems very fair.
Yeah.
Right. Will it move Uptown Girl?
Or Downeaster Alexa.
Yeah, exactly. Will the lion sleep tonight and it just stays and Ain't No Hershey Bar?
Mm-hmm.
I started this and I feel like I know the least about Billy Joel.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So let's go to what's number two on the list, Mike?
So number two is season two. So admittedly, this is more of a visual one. I'm going to play a clip from it, but you sort of have to have a picture in your head while you're imagining this. We're going to Survivor the Australian Outback, where Colby Donaldson at the Final Four won a Pontiac Aztec, as we've talked about in our very first Outwit Outplay Outlist installment, and an overnight trip camping out in said Aztec. He gets a very special visitor in the form of his mother, Gay Donaldson, who I think he actually talked to online in that AOL cafe an episode prior. But Gay decides to stay the night and they have a nice little mother-son hangout together. And things get unique the next morning when, as part of Colby's reward, he takes a shower for the first time in many days. And I just want you to imagine that as Colby is talking about this and taking a shower, His mother is standing about 15 feet away from him, holding a nice mug of Joe, staring at him, and also sometimes taking pictures with her camera.
Oh, this is by far the most refreshing shower I've ever had.
This morning was awesome.
Uh-oh. I think that's it for the old shower.
Out of everything that took place in the last 24 hours, the hot shower I was looking forward to the least. However, now that it's done, I think I enjoyed it the most next to being able to visit with my mom. I had no idea having a hot shower would feel so good.
Yeah. So, again, the clip maybe doesn't say too much, but just imagine this entire time, Colby's mom is like, it's like a Folgers commercial, just standing there with a cup of coffee, shaking her head like, that's my son showering very near to me.
I only know one way how to take a hot shower, and that's full tilt.
I also do love him throwing in there, again, to really vocalize the mother boy aspect of it all of, you know, the only thing better than the hot shower was seeing my mom.
Yeah. This was such a big talking point at the time. And, you know, Mike, I know you were like on the Survivor Sucks message board at one point, but I don't know if you're even old enough to know, like, people oh yeah, Colby and his mom, what's going on there? This was national conversation.
No, I was not. I was 11 at the time, so I wasn't on Sucks at that
point.
To be
fair, I don't think I was either, but I've heard stories.
Yeah, I mean, this was the season.
You didn't have
for
to be on Survivor
well.
Sucks. So if you worked in an office, people were like, hey, yeah, you think Colby and his mom, what's going on? That's weird, right?
Yeah, so again, one season after Greg and his sister, now we have just this like very, I think it's a very nice seeming, I'm not here to imply anything between Colby Donaldson and his mother, but the moment can't help you make your imagination go driving in a Pontiac Aztec,
right?
You know,
and Lindsay, I think also the fact that I think the two of them slept in the Pontiac Aztec, also that was the selling point of the Pontiac Aztec, that it was also a bed.
Yeah, well, so for me, the thing that makes it weird, I think there's two things about it. So
yes.
One is like the weird, sexy music, because they're being like, oh, look at Colby, he's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. But then on top of that, like right after this, and they go back to camp, Colby's like, ah, this was like having a conjugal visit.
Oh, yeah.
And that's
that.
A weird thing to say about your mom.
Yeah, that's very odd for so many reasons, like implying that you're a prisoner.
Maybe he didn't know what that means.
I think he doesn't, because the way he says it is like, it's like having a conjugal visit. And when you have that plexiglass between you, so it's not a real visit, and I was like, oh, that's what he thinks that means. But
yes, as a prisoner means. Yes.
Yeah, prisoner completely platonic, nothing's going through the glass, everyone's just staying on their separate sides.
Nope, I don't think that's how it works. Yeah.
God.
Should we look at the board?
Off to a strong
look at the board.
Start.
Look at the board. Okay, all right, let's see, what do we have here? Okay, so here, let me go ahead and grab this from the bottom. And
I think the picture again really sells the visual of exactly what this looks like.
Okay, all right, so I've got it, and so let's take a look here. All right, so here is mom looking at Colby in the shower with her coffee. All right, so I don't think this is in the bottom tier, right?
No, this is not. Like, it's entertaining. I would say.
This is super memorable.
Yeah.
Okay.
The question is it more memorable than Greg and Julie?
Well, I guess that the rubric that we are looking at, is it funnier? Whereas this Julia clip with Greg's sister was intentionally funny, and this is unintentionally funny.
That's a good point.
That is a good point. But I guess the question is, I mean, Lindsay, that falls right into your camp. I will say the Julie clip is obviously longer in multiple parts. This really is just like a one-time thing. How much does that bear weight? Is less more here?
Yeah, I think so. In terms of like being unintentionally funny, this is certainly higher on that. I would say like Rudy to me is funnier, objectively speaking, than this whole Colby thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Okay. So,
I'm fine keeping this thing in the back seat right now, keeping it in that spacious Aztec trunk below. Because while I agree that this is unintentionally funny and set the internet ablaze. I do feel like the fun thing about the Greg Julie stuff is that it does involve the entire tribe. And so we kind of get each and every person, even something like the weird effect of Jenna Lewis tearfully practicing the bow and arrow for a reward she never got, you know, up against Julie going, like, it's so damn bizarre. This is a really fun, sweet, short type of thing. But I feel like maybe the Julie Greg stuff just has more meat on that bone.
Okay.
No, God, I did not mean to say bone.
Oh, my God, Mike.
All right. Then let's leave it as is, and then let's go to what's number three on the list.
Well, let's go to Survivor Thailand, shall we?
Okay.
Because the awkwardness does not stop there. I would say a low rank season from your perspective, Rob, and the listeners of RHAP, but actually has a couple of really fun loved ones moments in it. Now, there are two instances of loved ones in this season. The first comes when they have that really awkward merge at the final eight where Jeff like hands out the buffs and says, okay, you're doing your reward challenge now. And Brian wins a full video from home, specifically narrated and produced by his wife, Cece Heidick. And much is revealed. I'll leave it at that.
If my wife does anything embarrassing, I apologize. She's a little crazy.
Hey, honey. Congratulations. I guess you won whatever because you're watching this tape. Say hey, Muggy. Hey, Daddy. Say hello. Look at the camera. Say hello, Daddy. I miss you. I love you. Also, I've been getting in shape.
Those muscles. Yeah.
And Logie and I, we're going to party. Now that you're gone, we're going to party.
See, I told you. What I tell you.
So, Logie and I are going to go downstairs and we're going to go dance.
What's she? Logie, like, what? It's like, what's mommy doing? Oh, my gosh. That's too funny.
Well, she's a fox. I'm going to tell you. She's a fine-looking woman, and but she's fit for the bikinis, I'm going to tell you.
Oh, she gets a little crazy here.
That's okay.
She kept the clothes on, which I was happy about, but I didn't want everyone to know more about me than they should. It's almost one of those things where I didn't think it was necessary for them to see my family.
The house is a real mess.
Why'd you clean up?
Anyway.
Is this kind of weird seeing your house?
Yeah, it's really weird.
And here's your lovely piano that we miss. Playing. There's the beater.
And there's your car. So caddy.
The nice two brand new cars in the garage and the baby grand piano. It looks like Brian's doing pretty damn good for himself. If I were against Brian right now, that'd be enough to vote him off because I'd be going, this guy doesn't need the money.
We want you to come home soon. And we want you to win the $1 million so that we can all go to Fiji. Love you.
Do you think Fiji Airways would have paid for Cece Heidick to fly out?
Yeah, that's wild again. You can't believe how much of that video they showed.
Yeah, I mean, it's a full 2 minutes. I mean, the thing when the challenge was that everyone got like an initial tease on the video before the challenge started and Brian got his full video. I mean, I do wonder if the reason why they showed it as well is because it's actually really multifaceted. Not only is it funny in the way that Cece Heidick decides to show off her dance moves much to Cody's delight, but also she unintentionally kind of sinks his game right here by saying, Brian, here's your baby grand piano. Here's the two cars you have in the garage. Good luck winning $1 million, honey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it was definitely like a bad idea. Did it have any impact on the game, though?
I mean, no, because Helen's like, oh, if I wasn't with him, I would be mad about it.
Yeah, but was there a vote like he didn't get where it was like, well, Clay doesn't have like two cars in the garage?
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting, though, to watch Brian's reaction as well, because, right, this guy's Mr. Yeah. Freeze. He's ice guiding. He is sweating bullets during all of this. Yeah. He looks the most visibly panicked he does in 39 days of Survivor because he thinks, holy crap, my wife just might have screwed me out of $1 million.
Mm-hmm. Well, he keeps apologizing for her behavior in advance. Like, okay, guys, this is going to be crazy. Like, this is what she's like. I'm really sorry.
Yeah.
So he knows something's coming.
So, but Lindsay, like, if he does know that, why did this idiot win the reward? Like, it's like, all right, here's a little clip of your loved one. We're going to show the whole video if you win. Like, why did he win this?
I mean, it is wild. I have that written in my notes, too, where he's like, oh, I don't necessarily think they needed to see my family and my life. It's like, well, you didn't have to win this challenge,
yeah,
then.
I don't remember which challenge it was. Yeah.
There wasn't a word puzzle for him to throw, right? maybe there just wasn't an easy thing for him to screw up so he couldn't win the reward.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Did this play as funny, or is it just funny what happened to him?
I don't know. I feel like there's some humor to it. I think there is some humor in this idea of Brian's just like slowly dripping exterior as his wife is revealing all the luxuries he has at home. But there's also some fun weirdness, right, with CeCe being like, I can look at these muscles and look at me dance now. And some members of the tribe becoming particularly intrigued mm-hmm. by Brian's wife after that.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, there's also his comment too, where he's like, she kept her clothes on, which I was happy about. Like, he just has that as a throwaway comment. Which is probably all right. An actual concern, I guess.
Brian Heidick's video from CeCe. Let's talk about it. All right. It's not bottom tier, right?
Yeah, I don't think it's trash. I think, again, it has some aesthetic to it. I think it has some humor there.
All right.
It's tough because while the Colby mom moment is like much simpler and more sort of like succinct in that regard, I kind of feel like the CeCe Heidick stuff has more to it. Mm-hmm. You know, it has the two faces of CeCe dancing as well as her maybe intentionally or unintentionally showing off his assets.
Personally, I really feel like that Colby and his mom should be in a tier up from this. That
interesting.
I don't like that. I definitely feel like that Brian Heidick's moment is the lowest on this list, but I just feel like that Colby and his mom is like memorable 20 years later.
That's fair. I could be persuaded.
So you think it's even in a tier, it should be My Life is Fine?
I think so. Just mm-hmm. because it was like a actual moment. Like, I think that like Greg and his sister, like, I don't think that people were like, like that was like the conversation about the episode the next day. But I just feel like that Colby and his mom, I feel like, was just like such a big, it was so absurd.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, though, that I think the other two moments have absurdity as well to it. Like, mm-hmm. again, I was not around Sucks during Survivor Thailand, but I can imagine, especially during a season like Survivor Thailand, where not a lot of stuff was happening post-merge, there's probably a big conversation about, like, yeah, did you see what Brian's wife was doing on his video? What the hell was that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But were people, like, having those conversations around cubicles the next day about Brian Heidick's wife?
I mean, listen, I think it depends on the type of cubicle.
Yeah, I guess so. Where you worked. So, we don't have to move it up. I won't put Brian Heidick past it.
Okay. I'm fine with that. Yeah, this is so interesting because I feel like these three are, I don't think we've had an outwit outplay a list before where like these can all easily be moved up mm-hmm. very easily. I think we have yet to set the bar at this point. I think we found three moments that like, we feel a certain way about, but I don't think we found anything to really determine where everything falls as a result. The dominoes have not really been set up at this moment.
Lindsay, do you have any other thoughts on the placement of these three so far?
Well, I feel like to your point, Rob, like you actually did a pretty good job convincing me just there where when you put up the question, Mike, of like, tell me about these moments, I feel like Colby came up right away. And like, maybe that's just because it's so easy to point to, right? Of like that weird thing where Colby's mom was looking at him in the shower is maybe easier to kind of keep in your head than these prolonged awkward videos.
The tale is old as time. Yeah.
Colby and his mom.
The classic story.
Yes. Iconic tale. All right. Well, we can keep revisiting this, but Brian Heidick, I think, and CeCe should be the last on the list of so far. But let's talk about another moment from Survivor Thailand, Mike.
Yeah, so we'll leave them as the bottoms for now. So the loved ones do show up in person, doubly so. There's that weird thing, and I think the final six, where they show up for the reward challenge, then you think they're gone, and they come back for the immunity challenge to participate with the contestants. But for the reward challenge specifically, Jeff pulls a nice Survivor switcheroo, as he's wanting to do on Survivor Thailand, and says, okay, we're going to be doing a bug-eating challenge, but you aren't doing it. Your loved ones are. And among the loved ones is Helen Glover's intrepid husband, Jim, who's sporting a nice, you know, Yankees cap, a nice little ponytail in the back. And Helen...
Two things I hate.
combined into one man. Jim seems like a great guy, though, especially so in this clip, because Helen will be damned if her husband does not win this opportunity to stay with her. And she makes that abundantly clear as they make their way through the challenge. So this is an intersplice of a few clips
from
this reward challenge, as Jim's attempting to eat bugs and Helen is giving her some words of encouragement, I'll say.
Hey! Don't you dare!
Boy, Helen, he really wants to see you. That man loves you.
Yeah, he does. You're fine. You're fine. You're all right.
You survived the military.
Think of it.
This ain't nothing. There you go.
That wasn't easy.
Loser, going home.
Jimmy, please. 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 Please.
Go.
Please. Please. Please, Jimmy, please. I need it. I need it.
Swallow that, Jenny. You're behind.
Please, Jimmy, swallow it. You've got to swallow. Please. Please.
You guys better not screw around. You're taking way too long. Way too long.
Please, I need it. I need it. Keep it down. Keep it down.
You got to get swallowing,
Jimmy.
You got to swallow it, Jenny.
Do it now, or you guys are going to lose. Somebody's going to swallow soon.
Please, Jimmy.
You gotta swallow, Jenny, baby.
Jimmy, please. Jimmy, please.
You gotta swallow, Jenny, baby.
Swallow. Jimmy, swallow. Please, Jimmy.
Oh, there it goes. It's okay, Jenny.
So there you have it. Helen kind of bullies her husband into winning the love challenge.
Yeah. Okay. Helen and Jim.
That was so gross.
It was super gross.
I tried to cut out as many vociferous noises as I could, but it was very tough to cut around.
Okay. Lindsay, how do you feel about this?
So I have a very big problem with the vomiting. So I couldn't even watch this scene back. I was just like, no, this isn't good for me. But I do find it very funny. The parts at the beginning, especially, and not so much where she's like pleading with him, but where she's like, hey, no. The first one in particular.
Stuff. Well, it's interesting. I couldn't pull this one because it was completely visual. But when Jeff says, okay, you're the ones that are eating the bugs, Helen immediately looks over at Jim and goes, basically saying like, this is you. You're going to do this now. Mm-hmm. Like, don't even give it a second thought. You're winning this.
It's also funny that Cece Heideck is like, eh.
I'm good.
I made a video.
Yeah, exactly. Like, listen, I'm not eating bugs. Did you see that piano? I'm not doing this.
Yeah. Yeah.
But can I dance for you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I said this when we did the all-time season rankings for Thailand, where I felt like that's like a good, like, you know, could tell a lot about the marriage. You know, will the significant other eat the gross food? Is there like, you know. Not a great omen.
Well, and I think it also is a microcosm of both parties as well, right? Where you have Jim being so devoted and Helen being like, you better do this. I need you to be here. Brian and Cece are both like, yeah, all right. I'll see you in a few days. Have fun and have a good flight.
Yeah.
Watch movies.
Yeah. All right. Watch movies. you want to look at the board here?
Let's go to the board here, because I do think out of our first four here, I think this is definitely the lowest. I think the question is, where does it fall?
Yeah. I don't think it's like trash where it should be in the bottom.
It's not a crawler like the bugs?
No.
These are the worst bugs, too. Like the tarantula and the scorpion. So gross.
Yeah, it's very, very gross. Lindsay, what do you think?
This is the bottom for me. I think Helen's very funny, but I think like the grossness of it makes it.
When you
not
say
as
it's
good.
The bottom, do you think it's in the bottom tier or is it behind Brian?
I think it's behind Brian. I think Helen saves it from bottom tier.
Okay. Mm.
So now my question is, so now I feel like if this is indeed our Ain't No Hershey bar, should we start moving some of these up?
Probably.
Because I think now we're starting to see, like, I think now this is the kind of the anchor at this moment of seeing, okay, now that, because I do think there's a difference between what happens with Jim Glover and I would argue at least with Julie and with Gay Donaldson. I think those are in a tier above the Thailand clips. Maybe Brian would make it up to My Life is Fine as well.
Right now we have the two first clips on moved up a tier to My Life is Fine. I'm fine with all the Thailand clips being in Ain't No Hershey Bar.
Mm-hmm. Your Thailand bias is showing, Rob.
Yes. Yes.
Understandable.
Again, right. Like, I feel like the CC video, like, I feel like that's more of like, oh, that's funny, as opposed to I'm laughing.
the old Akiva Winokur thing. Yeah. What's going to make you say it's funny versus make you actually laugh? Mm-hmm. Make a noise that's not gagging on a bug.
Mm-hmm.
Rob, I feel like you're not super high on the Greg video either.
I'm not super high on the Greg video because I do ask myself often, what would Billy Joel do? I like
to cut you to the core.
Yeah, I like the Colby moment better, but again, my life is fine.
All right. Well, we'll see. Maybe we'll do some more reshuffling here. But we have at least stratified a little bit out of these first four. We've got a strategy going, which is good. Brian Heidick would be proud.
All right. There we go. All right. Mike, what's next?
We're going to the Amazon.
Oh, yes. What happened in the Amazon?
A lot of stuff. Unfortunately, this one does not involve present party Rob Sesternino. It does involve a loved one, though. It involves Matthew von Ertfelde. He did the whole gesture, right, of giving all of you the family visits, and then it turns out that his mom came to visit, but he got something special. He got his own feast that night in an Amazonian native village. I'm assuming Coach was in the background somewhere, engaging otherwise. But this is Matthew sitting down to dinner with his mom, and you really get a sense, like you said, Rob, of their relationship just through the interaction they have at this dinner. And I also included the way that Matthew describes the entire incident because Lindsay gets particularly tickled by this confessional from Matthew.
We were on this boat being whisked up the Amazon, and then we were dropped off at this dock. There were torches and firelight. I said, Mom, I have a feeling we're gonna follow the torchlight into the jungle. She clung to me. He was really scared. No pushing. Followed the torchlight to a clearing. There was a table covered with food and drink. Let's see what we've got, Mom. Let's inspect. Wow, look. Fish.
Yes.
Chicken. Oh, I haven't had five chicken in so long.
Oh, look at this. We admired the buffet. This is great. It's the two of us, Mom. It's going to be a romantic evening. My relationship with my mom is great. It's not the conventional mother-son relationship. My mom is tough. My mom is independent.
We've missed you awfully.
Have you?
Yeah, of course. I talk to you at home. Even if I don't see you, I talk to you.
No, I like that. Appreciate it.
Don't be too formal.
Am I too formal?
Just a bit.
Am I too formal? The Matthew von Ertfelde story.
Yes. Doesn't he also then comment on like then when they do the show also?
I can't remember. Lindsay, did
I remember
watch
like it stands out. I think he says like the dancers were hypnotic.
It's so weird. Like it's like he's writing some bad novel or something, or possibly as a serial killer. Like it's just his descriptions are so flat.
Yeah. It's like someone made what's the Patrick Bateman movie, American Psycho, but like tried to make their own version of it, trying not to get sued for copyright infringement, of trying to apply their own poetic style to it, but still keeping the same interesting vibe.
Yes. So what is the part of it that's especially hilarious, Matthew's mom coming to visit?
I think, and this was mentioned on the Funny 115 as well, is just because Matthew as a character, it is funny to have his mom chastise him for being too formal and to sort of have someone from outside Matthew's bubble. I mean, you experienced his bubble firsthand, to have someone come in and be like, oh, you're being too formal, you're being too strange, I think it's a very fun moment for the character of Matthew.
Yeah.
One of the things I like about it too is that like he's being so weird and being like, come on, Mom, let's inspect the table. But then the only real emotion he shows here is when he sees that there's chicken.
Fried chicken. Like, yeah. Also, I like how his mom describes the telephone. She's like, well, I get to talk to you, but I don't see you. I don't see you, but I do talk to you.
Well, either that or maybe his mom is some sort of medium, you know, that she's trying to communicate with the spirit of Matthew von Ertfelde. Maybe Joanna was sort of like a blocker to the spirits at the time, and she wasn't able to talk with him in the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, let's look at the board of Matthew's visit with his mom. By the way,
he also has a bit of the Colby moment as well, right? Where he says, like, my mother and I don't have a usual mother-son relationship.
Yeah.
He calls it a romantic evening.
Wow.
Yeah, what is wrong with these guys?
I don't know.
I didn't think this was a theme we were picking up on.
Yes. Okay. Somewhere that I was, it was a wild night back at the tribe also.
Yeah, I do believe that right after this is when everybody's dancing around. I think Butch is like passed out or nearly passed out on the floor.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a long night for Butch. Okay. All right. That was the night we found out that Butch is lactose intolerant.
Oh, no.
Okay. Let's look at the board and see where things are at now. Okay. All right. So we have Matt and Mom. All right. Not trash.
Matt and Mom sounds like a CBS sitcom waiting to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Get Cochran on the phone for this. Okay. Matt and Mom. Here we
go.
They
got it going on.
Yeah.
I think that this is probably the lowest for me so far. I think that, again, there's humor in it, but I think even Jim Glover getting bullied by his wife to win the challenge, I think, has more humor.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah. I don't know if it's super memorable, Matt's dinner with his mom.
Yeah, I mean, I would not be mad if this, or Matt, if this was in the bottom tier.
But it's not offensively bad.
I won't think so. I think I'm fine keeping it here for now. But I do wonder if by the end of this, if it's looking thin there, if we're like, okay, comparatively, maybe this doesn't stack up nearly as much. This is no fried chicken meal compared to the other four.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fried chicken. Okay. All right. Mike, what's next on the list?
It's the moment you've all been waiting for when I said we're doing a loved ones outwit out play out list. Right. It's the saga of Johnny Fairplay and Thunder D. Obviously, I cannot play everything in toto, but I decided to play Thunder D running out, fingers ablazing, going into, I would say still to this day, one of the most instantly iconic moments and lines in Survivor history.
John, here's your buddy Dan. I can't wait to meet this guy.
Oh, God. Oh.
Final.
Seven. Oh, dude, that was good. Huh? That was good. She died, dude. Did you get the letter? Did you go in? It'll be all right, man.
John, you went from really happy to really sad.
It was either going to be my buddy or my grandmother coming, and my grandmother's not here for a reason.
What happened?
She's not around. So.
Sorry for that news. I'm sure everybody here is sorry.
I don't know. I can hope to win this and get some more information.
We're talking dead grandma, folks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there you go. Iconic moment for sure.
I mean, I think it is hysterical, personally. And I know that it was number one on Mario Lanza's Funny 115 1.0. For me, the humor comes in so many ways. First, the fact that both Thunder D and Johnny Fairplay completely forget about the whole con when it starts off, mm-hmm. right? He's doing his whole hand signals. He goes, final seven. They're jumping into each other's arms. And then Fairplay's like, oh crap. Oh, yeah, the thing. Okay. Oh, yeah. How's grandma, dude? How's grandma? And I'll be completely honest. Maybe it's just my Pearl Islands love showing, but "she died, dude" is one of my favorite lines in Survivor history. It is, it is beautiful. Matthew would only hope to write poetry as beautiful as "she died, dude." Because again, it's so stupidly informal, yet trying to be completely serious. And then throw in as well everything that wasn't able to make the clip between Sandra, you know, winning getting the first person to send off the plane. She goes, "Fairplay's buddy." Mm-hmm. Between Lil saying, "his grandmother just died, Sandra." And then, of course, the ultimate reveal that this was all a giant hoax and everyone got punked on Survivor Pearl Islands. I think it's a comedic masterpiece, personally.
Lindsay, yeah. Your thoughts on this?
Yeah, far be it from me to praise Johnny Fairplay unnecessarily, but I think it is fully earned here. I was telling Mike before we came on, I watched the first 30 seasons worth of Family Visits before doing this, which was a mistake. But I just
so
wanted
much
to
love.
I wanted to see if there were like any weird trends, like when did Jeff start asking those weird questions?
Family kind of visits then and now.
Exactly. Yes. And I think what I have decided is that like top to bottom, this is the funniest one. Like for all the reasons Mike said, where like starting right from that first thing of like, oh, she died, dude. And then like all the way through where Lil is so sad for him the whole time. Mm-hmm. And like Sandra just could not give fewer F's about this. Like it's incredible. It's so good. And then it's like interspersed with the like Dara's boyfriend knowing nothing about her.
Yeah,
like it's a great visit.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So if we look at the board, Johnny Fairplay is about to steal the number one spot.
Okay.
I mean, I'm going to say final one, Rob. I think, I mean, this is going
to
be my
It'll be tough to beat. You know,
I mean, it is, it's one of the biggest, it's the biggest loved ones moment in Survivor history, in my opinion, and one of the biggest moments in the show.
The argument against it, is it played out? Is it tired? We'll see. We'll see if anything can knock it off the top spot. But as of right now, compared to what else is on the board, here it is, number one in the countdown. All right.
Yes. Much like the number of grandmothers that Johnny Fairplay still has, which is one.
Yes. Okay. We'll be right back to talk more about Survivor's funniest family visit moments with Mike and Lindsay. But first, I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor. And those are our friends over at Theragun, makers of the Gen 4 Theragun. It is going to change your life if you have tired, sore muscles. Don't let the stress of daily life weigh on your body. Whether you're an elite athlete or someone like me, just trying to make it through the day tension-free, Theragun can help. Theragun is the handheld percussive therapy device that releases your deepest muscle tension using a scientifically calibrated combo of depth, speed, and power, and it's as quiet as an electric toothbrush. The Gen 4 Theragun doesn't just feel good, it gets to the source of your pain by releasing the tension using Theragun's signature percussive therapy, which goes 60% deeper than vibration alone. Pain has nowhere to hide. Whether you want to treat your muscle tension from working out, an injury, or just the stresses of everyday life, there's no substitute for the Theragun Gen 4. The OLED screen and design make you feel like you're holding something from the future. I have it in my hand right now. Just go to the site and check it out. And the Theragun app learns from your behaviors and suggests guided routines. And I want to let you hear just how quiet the Theragun Gen 4 is. I'm going to go ahead and give you a little demonstration here of how it can help out with things like a tech neck. If you're holding your phone all day, leaning over a computer screen, you want to get that into your back. I hear from listeners who are runners, hamstrings, you name it. Theragun is trusted by 250 professional sports teams like Real Madrid and elite athletes like Paul George, DeAndre Hopkins, Maria Sharapova, and hundreds of thousands of customers and me. Try Theragun for 30 days starting at only $199. Go to Theragun.com/REJP right now to get your Gen 4 Theragun today. That's Theragun.com/RHAP, Theragun.com/RHAP. And now let's get back to the list. Mike, what comes next?
All right, we're going to next season, but with a Pearl Islands cast member, because Rupert Bonham just missed out on that family visit. Arr! Oh, if only. Luckily, he's going to get what is a conjugal visit next season, in the form of future Survivor contestant, future Amazing Race partner, Laura Bonham, coming out. And Rupert and his wife
Pie, exactly.
Oh boy, I do not want to see how that manifests itself, that resonates in the bedroom, if you will. But Rupert and Laura, they very passionately embrace. I will say that, and I think the clip says the rest.
Okay, is that everybody?
No! Laura!
I'm kidding.
kids. Rupert, come say hello to your wife, Laura.
You just stay here for a while.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, God.
Whoa, Rupert. Whoa. All right, Laura, I got to break it up.
Every time it gets me that Jeffrey Garner,
easy,
like, unruly stallion. Oh, down, boy.
Yeah,
make me host you off.
Hold on there, big fella. Yeah. Wait a second.
Oh boy.
One of the things we don't capture
so
in that
too. Excited.
We also don't capture in that Big Tom is like, oh, I didn't pick Rupert because I couldn't bear to watch him making out with his wife more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that's the thing is. The clip, hopefully the sound somewhat paint a picture, though please don't describe the picture that it paints to you personally, listeners. But when they come out, like, they are passionately kissing each other. They are making out. Laura at one point wraps her leg around Rupert like she's Tai Trang climbing a tree to get the idol in Survivor Co. Wrong.
Yeah.
And there is a prize there at the top, I suppose, yeah. As well.
Okay. All right. So Rupert. Amorous loved ones visit, putting the love back in loved ones visit.
And it is interesting, right? Because we get Laura showing back up not only as a Survivor contestant, but also in Survivor Heroes versus Villains. And I do not nearly, I believe it's much more PG, not the Survivor contestant that time around. I wonder if they were scolded after their time in All Stars together.
Mm-hmm. It's,
yeah, much tamer.
Yeah, further into the marriage also. Okay. All right. Let's look at the board. All right. all right. Rupert and Laura. Lip lock. All right. All right. I think this is the first one. This is going to be a climber here, much like Laura. Okay. So this past Matt and his mom.
Yes. Yes. Please.
Okay.
Yes.
I mean, are we past Brian and Cece?
That's a good question, because again, this moment is much smaller, but I do think it's, I don't know, I like CC's more than Rupert and Laura, but I could be argued to put it before CC Hynek, personally.
I would have it just before CC Hynek.
At the top of Ain't No Hershey Bar.
Sorry, yes. I would have Brian at the top.
Oh, Brian and then Rupert and Laura.
Yes.
Okay, and then
I don't want those pictures arranged in the way you had it, Rob, because it looks like Brian is looking at Rupert and Laura kissing.
He would.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're gonna break up the two Thailand moments with Rupert and Laura in between.
That's a bonum sandwich.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Lindsay, are you good with this?
I'm happy with this.
Okay.
Yes.
I mean, I let's not get carried away.
Yeah, I'm
nobody
okay
should
with
be
this.
Happy with this.
This
yes.
is fine.
Easy, girl.
Yeah. Whoa, whoa, whoa,
whoa.
Okay. All right. Michael, what's next?
Well, we're staying in Survivor All-Stars. We are not going in the romantic variety or even the romantic variety with a love between a mother and a son or a brother and a sister. But we're staying with the siblings. We're going to Jai and Jenna Lewis. Now, actually, much like Survivor Thailand, the loved ones had to compete in a bug eating challenge. And Jeff clearly states before the challenge, you cannot drink water until after you have swallowed the bug. Jai chooses to flex that rule a little bit. And when Jeff challenges him on it, this is the first time that a loved one gets into an argument with the host of Survivor.
No, 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 no. Jai, I'm sorry, you took a drink of water, you're out.
No one said we couldn't. Not during the thing, you can't.
Yeah, I did say you can't do it.
Hold on.
Yeah, I did. I clearly did.
Mm-mm.
Jai, you're
spit
out.
It out, boy.
Bo,
spit it out.
Mike, you're moving on. Jai, you might not remember, but I clearly said, show me an empty mouth. Once I clear you, if it comes up, you're okay, and then you can take a drink of water. I know you don't like the decision, but you're out. It's time for you to go.
Gotcha.
Jenna Lewis, like, between not getting a video her first time and now her brother disqualifies himself by being a dirty rule breaker when he mm-hmm. actually does get a loved one's visit.
Yeah. Jai is not following the rules. He should have watched Survivor Thailand.
Yeah, you weren't in the attack zone when you took a drink of water. I just love that
he got beat by a bunch of rules.
But like, what is he doing? Why is he trying to argue this? Right? We're saying, no, you didn't say that. Yeah, no. I trust myself more than you, Jeff Probst. I definitely heard correctly.
Mm-hmm. I'm in the heat of the moment, heat of the battle.
Mm-hmm. The thing I like the best about this moment, I think, actually comes from Mario Lanza, because he has, in his Funny 115, he mentions like Jenna also messes up in the final immunity challenge. Yes. And then the way he frames it is that he's like, those cheating Lewis kids. And that's how I always think of this moment. It's like,
because for those that might not remember, in the final three, in the final immunity challenge, they do the hands on a hard idol. And Jeff says, oh, Jenna, you lift up your foot. And she goes, no, I didn't. I didn't do that at all. And Jeff's like, Jenna, you very clearly lifted up your foot. You're going to have to join me. So yeah, there's something about the Lewis siblings and just like really being bullheaded about Jeff Probst's rulings on the field.
Yeah.
Both of them with these like oratory powers of just like, nuh-uh.
Yeah. Well, did you see from the scene in Survivor Borneo where they were saying that, Jenna, I'm sorry, we didn't get a video from your mom. And Jenna's mom was like, yes, I sent it. Like, no, you didn't send
it. I definitely
did. Like, yeah, I did. I sent it in.
Yeah. And then I do believe there was the reunion moment where Brian Gumbel says, like, well, Jenna, you were voted out in eighth place. And then her kids stood up in the audience and said, no, she wasn't. She definitely wasn't. I don't think that was the thing. I think you're wrong. Pretty sure she won the game. Mm-hmm. Just saying.
Mm-hmm. It's cheating Lewis's.
Okay. Let's look at the board. Jenna Lewis's brother contesting the decision. Let's go ahead and take a look. Okay. This, I think, I don't think it's trash. Mm-hmm. I'm not angry that it's here. but can it pass Matthew and his mom?
Yeah, I don't know, actually. I'm fine with keeping this at the bottom right now, because I think Matthew and his mom has, again, some more comedy to it here than just the pure ridiculousness, which comedy can be derived from as well. But I like the comedy of Matthew and his mom more than Jai just outwardly refusing to obey the rules that Survivor has very clearly laid out for him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this one seems clearly the least funny to me.
Yeah, least funny, but again, not trash for Jai. Yeah. I think he's right behind Matthew and his mom. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Mike, what's next?
All right. We're actually going to take a little bit of a jump here for the first time in Outwit, Outplay, Outlist. We are skipping all the way to Survivor Exile Island. And of course, we know Ceri Fields, legendary player, legendary loved ones visit. And we got to start things off with her husband, HB. Because on the very first season that Ceri and HB appeared on, I believe Terry wins the loved ones challenge and he gets to determine, like, he goes off with his wife, Shane goes off with his son, and I think he got to send one loved one back to camp with everybody else. And due to Terry's Maslow's-esque hierarchy of needs of which loved ones are better than other ones, mm-hmm. he says husbands are better than moms. So he says, HB, you're going back to camp with Ceri, Aris, and Danielle.
Yeah.
A nightmare to HB's ears, because this is what happens when he arrives at the Gitanos camp.
You see that stuff right there?
Uh-huh.
Those branches?
Yeah.
Can you get that?
Yep.
As soon as I got up, it was like, okay, we need to do the fire. Okay, we need to get food. Okay, we need to get water. And I'm like, oh my God, we just woke up already.
Cool right here. We need to reserve our energy, so he needs to help us, and he needs to see what we do daily. But he likes it. He doesn't mind.
Thank you, honey.
Mm-hmm. Ceri and Arvis have been working me like a dog, and it's bugging me a little bit. It's like, honey bunny, can you go get us some water? Honey bunny, can you get us some more twigs? Honey bunny, can you cut this coconut? Honey bunny, can you scale this fish? I'm like, oh, gosh, it's killing me out here.
Y'all got your own little servant, boy, I tell you. Mm-mm-mm. Y'all living it up.
But I know that I'm not going to be here long, so I'm going to help as much as I can.
Boy, here goes nothing.
I love HB so much.
All-timer. He's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the thing as well. You know, it happened a couple times. I believe Marquesas was the first one to have a loved one. I guess Gay Donaldson did as well, but like a loved one stay and participate in the camp life.
Mm-hmm.
HB is by far the first one to like really complain about the fact that he has been put to work as
Patrick hates it too. Let's be
yeah. Patrick hates it a good amount, but I feel like HB doesn't get a full confessional being like, wow, I am being worked right now by my wife and her friend to go chop wood and scale the fish.
He got up off the couch. HB, he's here. Not afraid of any leaves now.
And he wants to get back on immediately after going through a day of camp.
So what I like about this is that this is funny and like it was supposed to be funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, much like Ceri, the entire Fields family has a great sense of humor. And so mm-hmm. you could tell like why Ceri and HB are perfect for each other is because they both sort of have this really exasperated way of talking sometimes when things are just outrageously ridiculous. So whether it's inspecting Shane's irritated genitals mm-hmm. or being told to just do all the camp labor in a morning immediately after waking up, they both have very similar I cannot believe this is happening reactions, and it's delightful.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I love too how it's edited where Ceri's like, oh, but he doesn't mind, and it cuts directly to him being like, ah, oh, they're working me
like
that.
I don't like this.
And I love as well like the very different type of almost like salsa music that's playing to underscore HB just like going back and forth like the Energizer Bunny.
Okay. All right. Let's look at the big board. And so here we have HB. I think that HB should move over Ano Hershey Bar and go to My Life is Fine.
I would agree with that. I think that it's like a really good scene as well, right? It's not just a moment like some of these other ones. I think it's a great character moment for him as well. I mean, I would argue I might put him above at least Colby and his mom.
Okay. I would put it at the top of this tier, personally.
Okay, I'm good with that.
HB. Okay, what would BJ do to what would HB do?
Exactly. I think it's a great, like, it's very well done scene. HB is a great character. It's really well edited. It's just a very good comedic scene in Survivor. And I think, to Lindsay's point, maybe that overcomes the intentional weird humor of Julie and Greg and the unintentional humor that comes with Colby and Gay Donaldson.
Mm-hmm. I like it. Okay. Good job, HB, the captain of My Life is Fine.
Yeah, much captain of sports. Much, much easier work getting to the top of the tier than scaling a fish and delivering water and everything.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mike, what's next?
We're going to Ceri's second season, actually. We are going to Survivor Micronesia, fans versus favorites. But we're not going to Ceri here, even though HB does make a welcome reappearance. Instead, we are going to Eric Reichenbach and his brother, because while there certainly were fans of the show, again, present company included, going into their games of Survivor, Eric was really cast and I think touted as like the Survivor fan on Survivor Fans
on the
versus
fans
favorite.
Tribe.
Exactly. And so he responds appropriately, sort of plays his role in that regard when his brother comes out. And it also prompts maybe a Jeff Probst moment I should have included in retrospect on the funniest Jeff Probst lines ranking that we did a little while ago.
Eric, here's your brother, Kurt.
No way.
Come on, Kurt.
Yeah, Kurt!
You look so funny.
I know, I got a beard. I got a beard. Look at this.
Sweet beard. I love it.
That's Jeff Probst. That's Jeff Probst. You just stand in there.
Eric, you're free.
Yeah. It's so much Reichenbach this week.
Yeah, absolutely. Though I think this is probably the one he prefers to showcase, even considering how the way things ended over Karamoan. But yeah. I mean, I guess if Jeff Probst was running the Purple Pants podcast, Eric would have gotten Freak of the Week for that episode.
Yeah, you're a freak. You're a freak.
Eric, you're a freak of nature. I'm surprised he said that then. I for some reason, had misappropriated Jeff calling him that when he was licking the cake off of Ceri's fingers, but somehow he saved that comment for afterwards when his brother comes out instead. Mm-hmm.
Maybe. That's James, right? James is like, oh, there's something wrong with him or something.
Yeah, something wrong with that boy, I think he says. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, Eric, his brother is like kind of like the normal. Like, his brother doesn't do anything unusual. It's Eric acts wild when his brother shows up.
Yeah, I just love it because you can imagine that he's probably the as big of a Survivor fan as Eric, probably part of his watch parties. But again, to your point, Rob, maybe doesn't have that personality that leaps off the screen. But Eric totally compensates by being like, it's Jeff Probst. He's right there. I've been watching him the whole time. He's not that cardboard cutout we have in the basement.
Well, he's just standing there. like, what do you want him to do? There.
Do a trick, Jeff Probst. Come on.
Yeah. Okay. Lindsay, where should Eric reacting to Jeff Probst and his brother be?
The Riken Bros.
Do you feel like it's hyperbolic to put it in my life's fine? I really like this. I love his enthusiasm.
You gonna try that on, Mike?
I'll try it on and see how it fits. I don't know. I could be swayed to bump it down to Ain't No Hershey Bar, because I feel like the other three moments are ones that I really enjoy. Mm-hmm. And I think this one is fun, but I don't know how it compares to those other three, you know? So I could be swayed to either put it at the top of a Hershey bar or the back of My Life is Fine.
So
that's fair. It's more fun than funny.
Yes. Yes.
More so, fan than funny.
Yeah. So we're not actually moving it behind any other clip, but level wise, it's going to drop down a level to be at the top of Ain't No Hershey Bar.
Yeah, I think so. But I think it's like a great microcosm of Eric's character as well, right? That, like, again, he was cast as sort of like the obsessed Survivor fanboy. This is the guy that was fawning over Ozzy when they were on the same tribe. He's going to go on to win the trivia challenge in a couple of episodes. So this is Eric sort of being like, okay, what would a Survivor fan do in this situation? Look, we're at the zoo. Look at the Jeff Probst in his natural habitat. He's just standing there in the khaki doing things. Jeff Probst.
Okay. All right. So the top of Ain't No Hershey Bar for Eric and his brother. Ain't No Hershey Bar, if you're listening to the podcast, has the most entries so far with Eric and his brother, followed by Brian and Cece, Rupert with the heavy makeout sesh with Laura. We have the Helen Glover's husband, Jim, Matthew and his mom, and a very upset Jai Lewis.
All right, well, let's move ahead a couple more seasons to season 18, Token Sheens. And we are going to start with one of the cutest reveals of a loved one's video yet. So Taj wins like a special message from home on the Sprint Palm Prix, I believe it is. And Eddie George has like a very devoted message to her and ends with a line, see you back at camp. Taj, I think understandably being in her feels at the time, doesn't necessarily digest that information. And when Jeff points that out to her, it really produces, in my opinion, an all-time Taj Johnson George moment.
We're holding it down here at the George household. See you back at the camp.
You hear that last line?
I did.
There's one line on there. Might have been a little hard to hear. There's one line.
See you back at the camp!
Oh my god. It just dawned on us.
That's
wonderful.
Oh my god. Oh, can we go now?
And so it's obviously not represented in audio format, but when Taj says, see you back at the camp, she nearly pulls Jeff Probst's arm off, not even out of its socket, clean off his body like Luke Wilson in Anchorman, because she just freaks out that heavily upon the possibility of seeing her husband.
You can say like Jax in Mortal Kombat.
Exactly. Finish him.
Yeah.
He's just standing there with no arm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So this is very also a sweet moment, unlike anything else that we've had so far.
Hey, how dare you, Rob? There was so much sweet stuff going on between Rupert and Laura.
Yeah. So, okay. Interesting. Lindsay, any other thoughts on Taj finding out that Eddie George is going to be back at camp?
I mean, not from that specific moment, but I did take the note that once the two of them go back to Exile Island together, she uses the correct usage of have a conjugal visit, where she says that's what she wants to do. And I was like, oh, okay. Colby, take note.
Yes.
Oh, that's got to be terrible, though, considering that Exile Island that season was just a big sand dune. Anakin Skywalker would like a word.
Okay. All right. Let's take a look at where Taj and finding out that Eddie George is going to be back at the camp. Definitely not trash. Lindsay, where should this move to?
Yeah, I feel like this one stays in this tier. I think it's sort of comparable with the Eric of it all, where it's like it's more fun than funny and it's just kind of nice rather than hilarious. So like to me, it doesn't go above this tier. What do you think?
Yeah, Mike, what do you think? Can Taj pull the arm of this to go any further?
No, I think we're going to have to pull a Heisman and stiff arm her right here in this tier. I think to me, this is like the perfect replacement level clip. Where I think it's very enjoyable. There's certainly some funny. It's to the point where I actually really love. You know how sometimes in Survivor when they used to like slow-mo replay clips from of people celebrating before going into commercial? This time it's a slow-mo replay of Taj freaking out and nearly dislocating Jeff's shoulder Stephanie style upon finding out that Eddie George was there. This is a perfectly average moment to me in this particular countdown. So I would be fine at least putting it above Jai. I put it above Matthew and his mom. Maybe I put it above Jim and Helen. I'm not much sure if I put it higher.
Okay.
Because it's not like particularly laugh out loud funny or even like explicitly funny.
Yeah, I think it's like more cute than funny.
Agreed.
Yeah.
As opposed more to, hot, cute, yeah, or funny.
Yeah. That could be three tribes in a future season. So, yeah, let's leave it there. One behind Eric. Mike, it would be hilarious, though, or I guess interesting if a Survivor contestant was to injure Jeff Probst during a season of Survivor.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting question, right? Because there's occasional moments where like someone goes to hug Jeff Probst or, you know,
he has to pretend like he likes it.
Or like you pull a Sarah Dawson, right, and try to sneak a kiss on the cheek. But there could be an instance where for one reason or another, Jeff gets injured. And like, does that influence things, right? Does Jeff go into tribal council like, Taj, I've got no questions for you because my shoulder has all the answers.
How could you?
Yeah, I only have one question for you. How dare you?
Haven't you done enough? So I'd like to play this idol. Back up.
Whoa. You got a permit for that thing?
Mm-hmm. Whoa. All right.
Well, we're going to stay on Survivor token genes here because, look, there have been such, you know, deep, complex, beautiful relationships that have brought people together on Survivor. Then there's Coach and his assistant coach. I'm going to let Coach explain it a little bit of himself because the assistant coach does get an opportunity to visit him at camp and engage in some stretches. But Coach makes it very clear they're not boning me in it anytime soon.
And I'm running the show. Guess what they call me in this game? Dragon Slayer. Because I'm slaying all the dragons. I'm running this freaking show. Let me tell you that right now.
Dude,
I think I'm going to be in that final two.
I hope so.
Unless something crazy comes up.
If you were to say, you can have filet mignon, or you can see your assistant coach for 10 minutes, I'd say I'm going to see my assistant coach.
Oh! We are not doing weird sexual positions, by the way. Just so I haven't had my back cracked.
You know what they say, Coach, if you have to say it.
I love that line so much.
I mean, this coach is like peak Michael Scott in this clip, right? Between that statement and also the confessional of, if I could choose between having a filet mignon or spending 10 minutes with my assistant coach, I would choose to spend 10 minutes with my assistant coach.
As would everyone.
A lot of pressure on those 10 minutes.
I mean, I suppose so. You better do good at it. I just wonder what the discourse was like between them, right? Was it like, how's the team?
I don't know.
Were there any personal questions or was it more so, hey, look what I'm doing in this game? And hey, buddy, I know you flew all the way to Brazil from California. Can you like stretch me out a little bit? Nobody's been able to really crack my back the way you do.
That's like the tweet of sex is great, but have y'all ever spent 10 minutes with an assistant coach?
Exactly. I think that's going to be the next internet craze is, you know what, at 10 minutes with an internet coach is like the best thing on earth now. assistant coach. I don't know why I said internet coach.
Well, look, social distancing. Those are the only coaches you could spend time with these days.
Great point.
But you also like, it is undeniable the comedy that Coach brought out his assistant coach. He brought his work time subordinate on his loved one. That is ridiculous in the best coach way.
Assistant to the Dragon Slayer.
Assistant to the Dragon Slayer. Yeah, do you think that the assistant coach has gone on to become a full-time coach yet, Lindsay?
I mean, we can only hope so, right? Maybe someone's cracking his back now.
But now the question is, when if he were to go on Survivor, could he take the Coach nickname? Much like Coach, you know, passed down the Dragon Slayer title to Sophie, did he have to sort of abdicate the throne to
he just
assistant
goes on,
coach?
Goes on as assistant coach. That's just what his name is.
Like, in his absence, was he the coach during the absence?
Oh, that's
of
a good
coach?
Question. Yeah. Could be like a coach in interim, you know?
Mm-hmm, the interim coach.
Coach in waiting.
Yes. Yeah, Coach is a big backcracker guy because he's going to have Edna like walk on his back in South Pacific.
Plus, doesn't his back apparently give out during his last stands after he goes to Exile Island?
Yes. And then also Boston Rob was wondering in the Island of the Idols if chiropractors were real or if it was a scam.
I just need assistant coach.
Do you think his back gave out because of what his assistant coach did?
Oh, what if he was like, get my assistant coach, please.
I need him.
Please fly him back here.
Okay. All right. So, assistant coach. Let's look at the big board. See what's going on here. All right. Not trash, right?
Definitely not.
Not trash. I love this in so many ways. I might be tempted to put it in my life as fine just because of how ludicrous it is.
Lindsay. Yes. Okay. Yeah. So can it move up?
Yes.
Can it pass Colby and Mom?
I say yes.
All right. Stretch it on past Gay Donaldson.
What about the Greg Buis and sister?
Oh, yeah. Who wins in the duel of like not sexual positions?
We're not doing weird sex stuff. I think I like Coach better than Greg and Julie, but I don't know.
I like Greg and Julie better than Coach personally. So, Rob, it comes down to your personal preference.
I think I'd leave it the way it is right now. I don't even know if I'd have it over Colby and Mom. So I feel like that this is about as far as I'm willing to go with Coach and the assistant coach.
I love as well that the very first thing, my logic, my canon is that the very first thing Coach says to this guy is not like, hello, or how's everything, is like, you know, they call me the Dragon Slayer here, which makes me think that this is a nickname he tried to make work back in California. And it just wasn't like, I finally did it, dude. I got people to call me the Dragon Slayer.
Mm-hmm.
She slayed, dude.
Okay. Let's leave it here. All right. Currently, it's number four in the rankings, behind Worth Playing For is the number one. Then My Life is Fine is HB, Greg Buis' sister, and then the assistant coach, followed by Colby and Mom. All right, Mike, what comes next chronologically?
Well, we're skipping ahead a couple seasons, and we are going to Survivor Heroes versus Villains in what I might argue the best Colby Donaldson moment from the entire season. It comes in the form of a visit from his baby brother, Reed.
Tell me what to do, Reed.
Try it up a little bit. There you go. Try that.
Colby falls short. Hardy falls short.
Reed, I'm throwing it farther.
Oh, okay.
Come on. This is anybody's challenge.
Go through.
Reed, talk to me, for God's sake.
Keep it straight. Keep it straight.
Every little bit helps.
Reed.
I did. I held it right there. Good. Smooth.
Colby blaming everything on his big brother. He's been that way 34 days, Reed.
Reed, tell me what you want.
Just throw it. Just throw it high.
Come on, Reed. Rip.
Little brother getting frustrated with his big brother.
Come on, Rupert.
Come on, Reed.
Wow.
Oh, that's so good. Damn it, Reed.
Mike is broken up.
I have to give all the credit to Derek, who was just made an absolute meal, even better than filet mignon or 10 minutes with an assistant coach, was that supercut of all the times Colby gets frustrated with Reed in that challenge. It is one of the things that continually
tickles me. That was a montage.
That was a montage of all the times, because the challenge was you throw water from one bucket to another to fill up a larger bucket, but Colby and Reed cannot get on the same page, and Colby is irate at all of this.
Yes. Okay.
Oh, it's so funny. He's just so mad, and like nothing about it is his fault.
But it's like he's going through the five stages of grief, right? There's like a bargaining of like, Reed, just tell me what you need me to do, please. Then there's the anger, of course, of like, come on, Reed, damn it. And then there's acceptance by the end that we didn't play, of him being like, it's all right, I love you, bro. He really goes through the entire, like, he goes through the whole gamut over the course of one challenge. It's the most emotive we've seen Colby this entire season.
Yeah. I can't believe that Mike was so tickled by that.
It's just so, it's so good with just, I mean, but because every inflection is different, right? This isn't Helen going like, please, please, please. You have like, come on, Reed, just tell me what you need me to do, Reed. Okay. I'm going to take this really nice. He takes that approach. He takes the, come on, Reed, damn it, Reed. And then him like cursing and throwing the bucket as well. Like it's Colby goes from 0 to 10 to 5. He's just all over the place. It is a moment that has always stuck with me to the point of where when I was introducing Survivor to my wife, Angela, this is, I think, still the number one Survivor quote that she still says commonplace around the house is just like, damn it, Reed. Come on, Reed. It's something that is stuck with our household. So forgive me if it holds a very special place in my heart, like a Hershey bar.
Yeah. Lindsay, also for Colby here, I think we're seeing like the frustration of like in Survivor, the Australian Outback, Colby could not lose anything. That all he could do, much like someone who participated on the trek to Paramount Mountain, all he did was win, win, win up until the final two. Here, that he was, as James put it, Superman in a fat suit. That he has been robbed of all of his powers and abilities to win. And I think that you see a lot of frustration mounting here for Colby, the Colbster.
Well, there's that snarky moment from Probes too, right? Where he's like, he's been like this for 34 days, Reed.
Mm-hmm. Well, you think this is like the belated response to when Colby says, like, I don't want to eat your damn chocolate bar, yeah, Probes, do the challenge. He's like, all right, I'm going to put that in my pocket and save it for a rainy day.
Mm-hmm. It's been fussy for over a month.
Okay, let's look at the board and see, where does this go? Here we have Colby and Reed.
See, the picture just makes me laugh. I'm just like,
it's not trash.
Big, baggy, ratty shirt. I mean, listen, I'm going to be bold here. Like a bucket of water, I'm throwing this up to the top tier. I'm putting this at number two right now.
That's where I would put it too. Rob, I feel like you weren't as tickled as we were.
Yeah, it's that. It's good. It's good.
It's fine.
Yeah. I don't want to downplay it. It's not passing fair play, right?
Definitely not.
Okay. No, I don't think anything's passing fair play, but I think to me, and I think to a large portion of the fan base, to the point where when I asked for moments, the very first comment I got within the first minute was, damn it, Reed. Mm-hmm. I think it shows that this is also those family visit moments that became instantly iconic, because it was also one of like the very few Colby Donaldson moments of note in Survivor Heroes versus Villains.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Colby and Reed. Colby with two top six moments right now.
Yeah, it's all about the Colbster right now.
Yeah. Would Colby have done better, Lindsay, if he would have brought his mom out for this challenge?
Maybe, because I feel like he's not going to be screaming at her like,
no, you know what? She would have taken the bucket of water and just be sipping at it while staring at him as he goes into the ocean.
Mike, it did seem like that Colby and mom were much more on the same page than Colby and Reed.
Yeah, though I don't know. Again, the Colby of 2010 seems very different than the Colby of 2001 as well. So maybe at this point, I don't know how the Colby of 2010 would respond to spending a night in an Aztec Pontiac with his mother.
Okay. All right. Mike, what's next?
So this one's a bit of a unique one in that this is technically starting in Survivor South Pacific, but has a bit of an echo in another season. Sophie G. Clark has a lot of fun moments. She brings, much like Colby, brings two separate loved ones out, but she has very specific instructions for both of them. She unfortunately loses the loved one. Well, there's no loved ones challenge in Survivor 40, but she loses the loved ones challenge in Survivor 23. And so in this first clip, this is what she tells her dad as she hugs him on the way out.
Give him a quick hug, Sophie. Come on back.
I want Reese's peanut butter cups at the airport and fresh made banana bread and a hamburger.
And this is what Sophie tells her husband when he visits her in Survivor Winners at War.
All right, head over and join the other loved ones.
Reese's peanut butter cups, a hamburger, massage.
So what happened to the fresh baked banana bread?
It's too much work.
I think she saw 2020 coming. She's like, I'm going to be eating a lot of banana bread in the next couple of years or so. Maybe we don't need to focus in on that. But Sophie's shopping list is one of the many things I love about her character, that every single time a loved one comes out, she has to provide them with a laundry list of things to get.
Although massage, you can't bring to the airport.
You can if you have an assistant coach.
I guess so. It's harder to bring it along. Okay. That's interesting. I never heard that echo before, Mike.
Yeah, I think somebody had brought it up maybe in the Winners at War episode, but there was so much going on. But when you really isolate it, yeah, Sophie has this tendency that no matter who's coming out, Sophie's going to give marching orders to on the way out. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Next time I see you, you better have these objects.
Lindsay, it's the drop your stack of shopping lists.
Yeah, so demanding. She's really into the Reese's peanut butter cups, much like yourself.
I mean, can't go wrong.
Yeah.
I'm glad that candy choice has not changed over the years.
Bobby, get the girl some chocolate and peanut butter, okay? And a hamburger.
Yeah, and banana bread.
And a massage. No banana bread, please.
Yeah. All right. So let's take a look at this. Now, I think that this is novel. It's cute. Mm. But is it funny?
Right. I think that this might fit in with the Taj and Eric stuff along the lines of this is a very entertaining moment, and it's really fun, especially when you connect the two. I don't know how LOL funny it is.
Look, I love Sophie. I've met Bobby in person. Greatest guy ever.
Ooh.
I feel like...
Not throwing shade on Bobby Shady.
Yeah, but I feel like this is very high for Oh, that's cute.
Okay. All right. Yes. Feel free to send it down like a peanut butter.
I mean, I don't want to be like bang my fist on the table and say that like Helen Glover, like, no, this is how it goes. Listen. Lindsay, where do you feel?
This is definitely less funny than Helen Glover, like even just to call to that. I think maybe similar to Matthew. Is it?
Are we being too formal? Yeah.
I think it's maybe less funny than Matthew.
Okay. I'm fine with that. I think, again, like you said, it's a fun runner, but it's not really a funny runner. Though, again, it is Helen-esque, right, in the way of sort of turning a very sweet moment into almost a mandate of, okay, you better do this now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah. Let's keep it above Jai Lewis, though.
I agree.
Exactly. Jai Lewis is wishing that those are peanut butter cups in his mouth right now while he's taking a drink of water.
Mm-hmm.
These are the consequences for your cheating ways.
Yes. Okay. There you go. All right. Mike, what do you have next?
Rob, once upon a time, we did a Brant Steele of Survivor Loved Ones. This guy ended up winning it all, even though he's probably not as memorable compared to some of the other characters. He makes an appearance here in our Outwit, Outplay, Outlist edition, as he did on the show, saying hello to his cousin Kat in the most Kat Ederson way possible. It is Kat and her cousin Robbie from Survivor One World.
Kat, you ready to see your cousin?
I'm ready to see you.
Robbie, come on out. Kat's cousin.
No, no. It's sick. I don't even know what she's saying.
I think they're speaking their own language.
You have no idea. He's the one that pushes me every day. We work together. We live together. We breathe together. He's the most important person in my life. And he's here on this island with me.
Let's go.
Hilarious.
So the visual that unfortunately does not show in the audio clip is upon seeing cousin Robbie, Kat gets down on all fours and starts barking like a dog upon seeing her cousin.
It's wild.
It starts like crawling towards him.
Yes. And we go from Sophie's Bobby to cousin Robbie.
True. Mm,
yeah.
Exactly. I don't know what the obbies are bringing out of these people.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they then go into some sort of like alien language that mostly consists of them just not pronouncing their consonants of like
reminiscent of Greg and his sister.
Yeah,
but definitely less sexual.
I don't know. I mean, they're like dropping to their knees instantly upon sight of each other.
Yikes.
Yeah.
They're also like smacking their chests a lot, jumping around. It's very intense energy from these two.
Yeah, there's a lot of like odd, it's almost like being welcomed into some sort of alien society, like you would on like making first contact on behalf of Starfleet, that you're watching this odd behavior ensue that they assume is completely normalized.
Okay. So let's see where to place this. This would be an interesting one.
So okay. Will this one go to the dogs?
Lindsay, do you have a thought on this before we look at the board?
Like, this one to me should be pretty high. I think this is extremely
ridiculous.
Absurd.
It's incredibly ridiculous.
Like the icon you have there.
All right.
It's perfect.
Does it go to worth playing for? Is it at the bottom of worth playing for to start?
Ooh.
Is that too high?
That's where I would have it, I think.
I don't know.
Is that a hot take?
I like HB at least more than Cat.
See,
I don't know.
To me, this is more memorable than, like, I liked HB. I don't remember exactly what happened. That if you tell me about, like, even, and I've watched Survivor One World this year. Like, if you ask me, you know, at any point in the last 10 years, what happened with Kat's cousin? Like, oh yeah, she had like the thing where she was like talking, like barking like a dog with her cousin. That was weird, right?
Yeah, and it's also, it's very good timely theming, right? Because Coming to America came back, and that's when someone was also barking like a dog. The behavior just seems to be coming back around. I'm fine putting it here. I do agree that maybe it's more memorable. Maybe HB sort of curses himself in that we've seen him a lot of times on the show, that this is not maybe like the big HB moment.
Cousin Robbie was so iconic. He played in Survivor, Loved Ones, Brant Steele. I think
he made it pure. Yeah, exactly. And HB played on that as well. But when you make it purely for this interaction, which has to be, I think, the most weird Loved Ones visit ever, right? Like, Greg and his sister had some odd stuff, but that was almost like wink, wink, nudge, nudge of we're going to do some odd stuff to each other just to sort of perturb everybody and make them nervous. This is very clearly like things they would do in the clubhouse when they were kids.
Oh, clubhouse.
Oh my God. Imagine if you went on clubhouse like, oh, Ken and Robbie are starting a chat room. Raise hand. Can I leave quietly, please?
Yeah. Okay. All right. So Kat is in the top three with Reed and Colby and Thunder D, Johnny Fairplay.
Wow, this is getting really top heavy here and worth playing for.
I was just going to say, like, you say Kat Ederson, you think two things. You think top heavy and you think weird crawling to her.
What about
like,
Dateable?
Yeah, that's very true.
That's the big three.
Kat Ederson is a game changer, I think.
Mm-hmm. So great.
Where was she on season 34?
Yeah.
True icon.
Okay. All right. So let's go ahead, Mike. What else you got?
Let's continue on the note of weird Loved Ones greetings. This was another one that instantly popped up when I asked for suggestions. We are going to the very next season, Survivor Philippines. Lisa Welchel, also a contestant on Survivor Loved Ones, her brother Justice comes on out. I don't know if I can do this clip justice itself in describing it, so let me just play it.
Lisa, here's your brother Justice.
Sister. Sister.
It's so weird.
Sister.
You think they're just they're really big T and Tamara Mowry fans. That was just their calling out to their favorite sitcom. I mean, so the alleged story behind this is that there is some canon behind this, that because the big thing was Lisa was keeping her secret going into the show about her starring on The Facts of Life, that he did not want to be like Lisa Welchel, like, who knows? Maybe Lisa even didn't give an incorrect first name. And so he just said, all right, I'll just say sister. That's generic enough. That certainly I will not give my sister away as a phony.
No way. Mm-hmm. I don't believe this story.
Ends up coming out is him just yelling and going, sister.
I think he just did something weird and was like, oh, I got to think of a cover.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I understand if he doesn't want to say Lisa Welchel, like that would be weird. That would be even
Lisa
more
Welchel
weird
of
to
the
say.
Facts of Life.
Yes.
Well, that would be weird even if she wasn't hiding it, to regard someone by their full legal name.
Yes. That would be weirder. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going on here.
I really don't either. It also feels like you're like greeting a nun. It's very applicable in so many ways. You can just create someone like, oh, sister. I think the thing as well is, to your point, Lindsay, maybe he thought it came out weird and said, all right, I guess if I keep saying it, it'll be sort of just my pattern of behavior and not something that came out wrong that everyone will notice.
Just lean into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe the sister guy.
Okay. Lisa Welchel and Justice. Let's see. Can we do justice to this clip? Let's see.
I mean, I think this is top tier, personally.
Top tier? Oh, my God.
This is Michael. This. I mean, just like you talked about the cat moments, though. I think if you ask me, oh, remember Lisa Welch's brother? Oh yeah, sister. What the hell was that? I think that for the similar criteria, that's got to be here as well.
Lindsay,
I don't know, man. This is wild.
Yeah, it's a hot take.
I think it's a very hot take. I mean, it's certainly iconic and it's memorable, but I don't think it's the funniest.
It's so weird and funny.
It's definitely weird. I would have it in My Life is Fine, personally.
I would have it at the bottom of My Life is Fine.
Wait. Cat getting on all fours and barking like a dog is weird. Just as much as saying sister is weird, but one is funny, one is not.
No, it's definitely funny. Mike, we're having it in the second tier.
Play the clip again of Cat barking like a dog and speaking in tongues for a minute upon being reunited.
Look, I'm not saying that it's going to be above Cat and her cousin, but I do think this is an incredibly iconic scene.
Sure. Like, sister is memorable, but I mean, some of this other stuff that we're talking about here, like, are scenes and not like a line of dialogue.
I mean, it's line of dialogue can transcend a scene at some points. We have some that are lines of dialogue. We have Colby's mom wordlessly staring at her naked son above full scenes of people.
Yes.
The criteria is up to
yes.
Window.
And I think that is more iconic than sister.
Oh, that is slander.
I disagree.
That is
I don't know.
Slander.
So, like, even just to tell from my family, I have, like, 1,000 siblings. My brother has been known to occasionally go, like, hey, what's up, sister? Probably because he can't keep us all straight, you know? So, I don't
right.
know.
But if your brother ran out going, sister, that's strange.
Not as weird as if he was barking at me.
Look, I'll compromise. I'll bump it down to My Life is Fine. But I still think...
You think it's the top of the My Life is Fine?
I might put it behind HB.
Yeah.
I might put it next to the other brother sister.
Now,
moment. If
you got it next to Greg Bowis and his sister, okay, I feel like at least we're in the ballpark here.
We have sister, quite literally next to each other.
Okay. There's some synergy there. Lindsay, are you good?
This is acceptable to me, yes.
Acceptable.
Synergy.
Okay. All right. What else you got?
Well, we're not ending here with Survivor Philippines. There is one more, and this is yet another guy who made an appearance in Survivor Loved Ones, the Brant Steele that we did. I feel like this is one that maybe gets forgotten about a bit more, but Miles Freeburg, Malcolm's brother, is kind of a weirdo in his own right. Here's a little clip of Miles running out and nearly bowling over his brother in the process.
All right, now that everybody's had their love.
Oh, wait, Jeff, you made a mistake.
Oh, I wouldn't leave you out, Malcolm. Here's your brother, Miles.
There he is.
So I'm a bite.
Whoa. He's going to knock you over.
Did you see this?
I look so good with my shirt off now, you won't believe. I'm taking a headband, too.
He looks like a colonel on, like, some ship in, like, the 1700s.
What's up? I know Malcolm's a fan. Were you a fan?
Oh, yeah, we've watched every episode.
We weren't allowed to watch TV during the week unless it was you.
We're watching you, Jeff.
I'm honored.
So, yeah, I cut it after that, because after that it gets a little sappy with him being like, oh, I love this guy. You know, he got us through so much. But suffice it to say, Miles makes one of the more memorable entrances as a loved one, where he comes out like a freight train and nearly barrels into.
Yeah. Does he fall in the water? Yeah.
No, he doesn't fall into the water, nor does he mark out a slow chalk line across the field. But he basically like nearly knocks Malcolm over and then goes into his own sort of nonsensical babbling about his facial hair.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the challenge, he actually does knock Malcolm over. He can't be stopped that time. And then Malcolm clearly doesn't want him there, which is even better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's like, oh, God, I got my doofy little brother out here.
He's a knucklehead.
Yeah. Mike, when he says that he's like a ship captain from some ship in the 1700s, is that foreshadowing for the theme of Survivor Game Changers, which are all shipwrecks?
Oh, you know what? That could be the case. Or even, I think, you know, Survivor South Africa Champions, which Shannon Guest and I are covering, took place in 2014, a couple years after this, and was pirate themed. So maybe Miles was serving as a theme correspondent of, I look at my brother and I see a Survivor theme. I'm taking this to Joburg.
Mm.
Not or Freeburg.
Freeburg. Okay.
I like, too, that, like, so one of the things I noticed in watching all of these sequentially is, like, Jeff does that thing where he fakes people out, and he's like, oh, no, I forgot someone. And I love that Malcolm just leans into it here. He's like, no, stop, my loved one.
If you notice, he also did that with Rupert, and, like, everyone's like, no, you forgot Rupert. Here, nobody cares. Malcolm's like, oh, no, Jeff, you forgot about me. Oh, wait, no, I guess I got Jenna Lewis this time. I'm so sad my doofy, dumbass brother couldn't make it out.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like that they do that with a person they like. That's almost like a good spot you want to be in, where Jeff is like, oh, I forgot your loved one.
Yeah, but Miles is a bundle of energy. I also love Malcolm's dynamic with him as well, where, yes, Miles does get a crack in at the whole, not in the captain variety, but with the whole colonel thing. But then Malcolm, like, calls dibs on his headband, which I do believe he does take back. I also love the moment where Miles sort of, like, does this thing with Malcolm, turns to Jeff and goes, sup? It's just like an incredible way to regard Jeff Probst, who he's very clearly fawning over Eric's
style. He's just standing there. Okay. Yeah. All right. So, brother. All right. Same season as Lisa Welchel. Lindsay, let me go to you first. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, what's the opening bid here for Malcolm and Miles?
M&M.
I think I would open in Ain't No Hershey Bar, I think. Maybe because, like, as a whole package, I think when we get the whole Miles scene where it's like, oh, he's a knucklehead, I can't believe he's here, he's going to tank my game. Like, that whole thing is funny. But I think just in this opening bit is maybe not, doesn't need to go any higher than that.
Is he at the bottom? Is he below Jai Lewis?
No.
No, I don't think so. I mean, listen, I will go so far as to say, when we do our audit at the end, I think we could put Jai Lewis in the bottom.
I think we can put him there now.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Listen, you know what?
You can't. I did not go to the bottom. You can't drop me to the bottom.
You know what, Jai? This is recompense. This is retaliation. You dirty cheater. This is what you deserve, to be at the bottom.
You never said that. Rules. You never said I would go to the bottom.
I was
in Ain't No Hershey Bar.
That there was a bottom tier, Jai, and you are in it now. So good luck. Have a safe flight. I would put Miles. Oh, this is a good question. So, like, does Miles Freeberg, I would say it beats out Sophie. Mm-hmm. I think it might beat out Mateo, and I think it might beat out Helen. I put the Freebergs below the Bonhams, personally.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Be nice if he could get to, he's right underneath Eric and his brother.
Yeah, we have like the brother stack.
Brother. Yeah. All right. Let's get out of Survivor Philippines. What else you got?
Well, we are going to take a long jump away from Survivor Philippines because for whatever reason, and there were certainly moments, but the next big clip I'm going to come to is Survivor 37. 12 seasons later, I don't know if it's just that, like, between the blood versus water seasons, there were not loved ones visit there. You're not going to have one in Survivor Co. Wrong. Obviously, ones in, like, Survivor Millennials versus Gen X have much larger, more dramatic stakes to them. But we are going to Survivor David versus Goliath. Now, look, like I said, a lot of the memetic ones that you and Bryce have brilliantly brought up over the years are not being focused on. I had to make one exception here because Hazel, Davey's lovely mother, leaps off the screen even without Bryce doing it justice, not Justice Welchel as well. So here is the Hazel experience.
Hazel, tell me about Davey.
He's Davy Crockett, for one thing. He's an explorer. I would be in my house. Where is Davey? He'll come back with frogs and snakes scaring the daylights out of me. But above all of that, he's so loving. He's my most lovable kid.
All right, give him a last hug.
Oh, I love you.
See you, mother.
Oh,
yay, watermelon.
Yay,
baby. All right, mother. Guess what I caught, mother?
An eel,
an octopus.
Oh, my God.
It's a bit of a composite. I included, obviously, Hazel talking to Jeff, and then the stuff from the reward about them sort of catching up.
I love Hazel.
Hazel's amazing.
I love Hazel, and I love that Davey only refers to her as mother.
Mother.
Exactly. Mother. It's like a very Mateo-like thing, right? Mm-hmm. Where Mateo would probably do the same thing, but again, in a very different way.
Am I being too formal? Yes. No.
And I do believe that Davey, doesn't he like tuck in his polo shirt as well when his mother's coming out too? So yeah, the Davey Hazel relationship is so much fun, and Hazel is just a great personality. Of course, the infamous "Where is Davey" clip has been making the rounds on RHAP for the past 3 years, but she's just such a fantastic personality, and the way they work together, to your point, Rob, is so funny.
Yes. Okay, Lindsay, any other thoughts on Davey and Hazel?
Yeah, as mentioned, I'm one of many, many children. So I love that she says, he's my most lovable kid. Mm-hmm. I like to imagine my mother says that about me.
Yeah, do parents give out superlatives, you think, if in large families of like most likely to succeed, class clown, best hair?
Hmm. I mean, I like to pretend that I have won all of the awards, but my siblings would disagree.
Yeah. Mike, do you have siblings?
I have a younger sister.
Okay. Did your parents give out any awards?
Who's more lovable?
This is interesting, yeah, because we're both millennials, yet we have no awards on our shelves. So if there was done, it was done completely in private, in a private ceremony, and we have not received the awards as of yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm thinking about giving out some awards.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm thinking about it.
You want to tell us what they're?
I'm thinking about it. No, it would actually be very easy to do, I think. In like every category. Man. Yeah. I don't think it would be like tough to like who's the best at this? Oh, that one.
I was gonna say, yeah, the binary choice makes it a lot easier. I think even adding one more in the picture gives it a lot more thought. But if it's like, okay, this or that, I think it's a much easier choice to give than like choosing among 10.
Okay. All right. Let's look at the board for Davey and Hazel to answer the question that's on everybody's mind right now. Let's answer the question of
where is Davey?
Okay.
Writes itself, doesn't it?
I know that the clip obviously is the great part of it, but I also love Hazel's follow-up of like, he just bring like a random lizard into the house at times. Like, he would never be him going off exploring. It would be him always coming home with some piece of wildlife to let loose in the house.
Yeah. All right. So, Davey and Mother, not in Forget You, Go Home, Goodbye.
Yeah, right. Get out of here, Jai.
All right. Yes. So, are they in Ain't No Hershey Bar, or do they go to My Life is Fine?
This is tough, because I think like recency bias might convince people to put it in My Life is Fine, but I'll be candid. I think if we're looking at the scope of things, I don't know if it deserves to go up that high.
Okay.
I would agree. I tend to think of this a little bit more like the Taj moment, where it's like, this is actually pretty nice, where she's just like loving on Davey and makes one kind of funny line, whereas I don't think it's like the whole thing is hilarious. I think it's mostly nice.
Okay. But I do love Hazel. I think that Hazel should be higher than Malcolm and Miles.
Oh, that's definitely for sure. I would put them, I'd say I'd put them maybe behind Taj. Because I think that still the moment of Taj visibly shaking Jeff Probst is a very funny image. And I think there's some fun back and forth with Hazel and Davey. But I don't know if it beats out Taj.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Mike, do you have another moment from David versus Goliath?
Boy, howdy do I. And look, this will be a little bit of a retread because we covered this in Funniest Jeff Probst Moments. But look, we're talking loved ones moments. I can't not play arguably the oddest Jeff Probst line in response to a family visit ever. This is in response to Kara Kay and her brother.
Kara, the thing about a brother-sister relationship, one of you's not the parent. It's a really unique dynamic in the family.
Art. It's art.
Yeah.
So profound.
It's so profound. Lindsay, let me get your take on this, and then I want to speak more about this.
Sure. So I think, like, when I was going back, I discovered that he kind of starts doing this kind of stuff around Nicaragua. Like, before that, we just have the moments kind of stand on their own.
Oh, interesting.
People...
So post heroes versus villains. He's like, I guess I should start talking to these people and finding out, you know, about their families.
Was there one moment
getting weird
in particular in Nicaragua? Was there like one relationship of like, oh...
He just starts saying, like, he'll start dropping that expression of, like, we're seeing you turn into the little girl. Or, like,
oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, there's a bunch of those. There's at least, like, four of them in the first
Who turned
seasons.
Into the little girl? Jane?
I know Ashley did when Ashley Nolan in Survivor Triple H, but I'm assuming something happened earlier as well.
Yeah, I think there's one that happens. Yeah, I can't
Is
even tell
Is it Fabio and his mom?
Fabio, like, he definitely gets some very specific questions. There's like, Sash gets a lot of attention with his mom, where it's like, you guys seem really close. Let's talk about
I know that,
that
Jeff is rather interested in Dan Lembo's relationship with his son, where again, this is like this stoic mafioso guy, and he's like in tears.
Well, also,
like,
yeah, and his son is like kissing him so much, also.
Yeah.
And Jeff's like, oh, you just can't stop kissing your dad who's been on Survivor for 31 days.
Yeah, I wrote it down. He says, like, Dan, tell me what it was like growing up with your son, and like, tell me of that. And then he says to Sash, tell me about your relationship with your mom. You guys look like you're really close. And it's like, yeah, probably, like, mother and son. Anyway, so yeah, so this is like the, I think, the most egregious example of him trying to get profound like this.
Yeah. Now, that being said, this is a Jeff Probst moment. This, to me, is not... The loved ones don't do anything.
But it's during the loved ones challenge.
It's during the loved ones challenge, but this is not an iconic visit. Like, this is that Jeff asks an odd question to one of the loved ones who are minding their own business.
Right. I would still consider that a loved ones moment, though. It doesn't have to necessarily involve the loved ones in particular. It could be something that happens during the course of this. And so I do think that... I mean, like Lindsay said, I think I wanted to acknowledge the Jeff Probst moments because that is part of the DNA of the family visit. This would have felt naked were there not at least some mention of some odd Jeff Probst moment where he tries to really spin a yarn around the family dynamic.
Yeah, like this is the one that we're having stand in for all the other weird Jeff
Probst
moments.
Yeah, this is the Avatar.
I don't know. That I bought it when we did Jeff Probst moments that this was the Avatar for all family visits. And it went very far in Jeff Probst moments. But I feel like that invoice is due.
So now when it reverses, when it's the invoice for all Jeff Probst moments in family visits, it doesn't work the other way around.
To me, this is skating by this clip.
Interesting. Do you think it should be disqualified?
I think it should be forget you, go home, goodbye.
Wow! I'm going to disagree about that.
Okay.
I really want to have Jai at the bottom just on principle.
That's fine.
No, I think he needs to singularly exist at the bottom because he knows what he did.
I can live with that.
He knows what he did. And like,
to me, it's just
attitude.
This is not a loved one's funny loved one's visit moment. This is
the Jeff.
This is, but it, how could it? It's already got its due as a Jeff Probst moment.
Well, then, I mean, there are other things that we have mentioned in other countdowns that you know, I have showed up as well. I'm trying to remember. We've done repeats in the past, and they've been acknowledged as well.
Where would you put it, Mike?
I would probably put it in, like, my life is fine if this is serving as an avatar of all the odd Jeff Probst things that he says during loved ones' visits. Right? If this is a representative of, Mike, let's see who the hell you're married to, or... I see the little girl inside of you.
But this clip already did that in another list, and we already said it represents all clips. Like, I don't want to represent all clips.
This feels too high to me. This is
literally the list of all the loved ones' clips. You cannot have a clip that represents all loved ones' clips.
But it doesn't
in this list.
We're
doing that list now.
The reverse can work. I'm putting down the Uno card, the reverse card.
Like, we're ranking all of the Jeff Probst clips. You can't have something that also represents all the times that Jeff Probst asked a weird question to loved ones.
But it's involved with the loved ones challenge.
Oh my God,
Lindsay, you're in a difficult position here.
Yeah, you're between a rock and a hard place here.
Hard stone. This feels too high to me, Mike. I'm so sorry. Yeah, I know. You look very disappointed. I feel like this is maybe... like to me, it feels like it needs to be an Ain't No Hershey Bear, personally. Because like, if you just have it on its own, and it's... I mean, I know you're saying it's like an avatar, but I think taken on its own, it's not that funny compared to some of the ones that are up in My Life is Fine.
It is an absurd question. No doubt.
Ridiculous question.
Ridiculous question, certainly. If you were a Survivor fan, like, did you text your other Survivor fan friend the next day and say, like, hey, did you catch that question that Jeff asked about the parent?
I mean, it's a different era. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on that I think it certainly caught wind among social media of what the hell is this man talking about?
Sure.
So I do think that it caught fire more so than, look, Jeff Probst is just standing there.
That was a really good impression.
Thank you.
All right. Lindsay, where do you think it should go? Is this in the right spot right now at the top of Ain't No Hershey Bar?
Well, now I'm afraid. Oh, God. Okay.
What are you afraid of?
Mike, mostly. Mm-hmm.
Nobody fears me, so don't be the first.
Oh, God. To me, this feels like it should go maybe right below Hazel. Is that unthinkable?
I mean, listen, I disagree, but I think I'm being outvoted here. So I
don't know. What do you
think,
Rob?
I think it should be below Sophie and Bobby, but I can live with it here.
So nobody's happy.
Exactly.
Excellent.
The sign perfect. Of a true compromise.
Exactly. Yeah. Lose, lose, lose. Excellent. Mm-hmm. That means it's perfect.
Yeah. All right. Mike, do you want to talk about this anymore or do you want to move on?
Well, you're not going to like the last one I have. I'll just put it at that.
Yes.
I'm going to go to Survivor 40, Winners at War, in which a man who happens to be the host of the show is going to do some talking. Robert, I know you'll take some umbrage with that, but you're going to have to listen to the clip. So Survivor 40 had obviously the biggest loved ones visit ever. Unlike Cece Heidick, they did fly out to Fiji, and everyone's kids came out. And so when they finally got through all like the Von Trapp-esque introductions, Jeff decides to get into the loved ones challenge before he pulls a big old fast one on them.
All right, let's get to the loved one challenge. For today's challenge, all the adults and the teenagers are going to swim out to the deepest part of the ocean, leaving all the kids behind to dig in the sand. All right, I saw some worried parents, but I saw some very excited young people, future Survivor players. Actually, we're going to do something historic. For the first time ever, there is no Survivor Loved One Challenge. Everybody's going back to camp. Everybody's going to experience Survivor and create more memories together.
And for those 10 seconds, Jeff Probst brought Kid Nation back to life.
Yes. Gather up, pioneers. We're going out to the deepest part of the ocean. Lindsay, that would be very far out, right? To get to the deepest part of the ocean.
I would have to think so.
Yeah.
The Marianas Trench, I think, is technically the deepest part of the ocean in the Pacific.
Mike, I didn't know you were an oceanographer.
I wanted to be a marine biologist when I was in fifth grade, so I guess it's just stuck with me.
Okay. Certainly a memorable moment. Lindsay, was this funny?
So honestly, the thing that I find the funniest about this is that Jeff makes this comment where he's like, I saw some very excited young people, future Survivor players, and they have this little sound effect, which to me seems almost like the editor's putting in like cricket noises because nobody laughs or reacts. I'm always just like, oh, it's not landing, Jeff.
Like, yeah, it did sound like, I feel like I heard like the, this is what the sound that I thought I heard in there. It sounded like I heard... I thought I heard like a Sandra Yeh in there.
Oh, she came back from leaving the edge of extinction from Ponderosa to be like, all right, I'm going to come join this thing. I'll hold the camera for a few minutes.
Let's bring in your loved ones and Sandra to come back.
This is very, very comparable to me to the like, oh, they'll be taken and executed or whatever from Nicaragua.
Like, yeah, where like Jeff's really dry humor just doesn't work out.
Yeah, like this is very reminiscent of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wasn't that from a loved one's visit also? Should that have come back?
Yeah, it could have. It could have, but I elected not to.
Okay. So that's my issue here. If it was the most memorable loved ones visit, season 40, everybody's loved ones get to be in there. But who was this funny to? It wasn't like awkwardly funny.
I mean, it's a little awkwardly funny, I think. I also do like the idea of Jeff's like just completely rolling with it, being like, okay, we're going to do this challenge, because I think the more you think about it, the more ridiculous it seems, right? Of, okay, we're going to have what, like 50 people competing in a challenge where adults and teenagers are going to swim out to the Marianas Trench and dive down for something. And you're
the Marianas Trench? What, on the edge of extinction?
Yeah, exactly.
This trench is called Millennium.
Oh my God.
And then you're going to have a bunch of like 5-year-olds digging in the sand while Jeff is yelling at them to dig kids.
It's a funny concept
to me. And I think, unfortunately, it also does inform sort of like the Jeff Probst quote from the finale, right? Of like, hey, if you're a teenager, apply for the show. He's already making reference here. Like, we're going to be seeing future Survivor contestants from these children
next year.
Mike, did I tell you that when in the Game Changers finale, when to go back to the dig woman of it all, that when Suri is getting her ovation from the crowd, that Jeff says to her, enjoy it, woman.
What an odd comment. Oh, man, why didn't I include that on the Jeff Probst moment? That one completely went over my head.
A lot of some of the newer stuff doesn't really didn't really catch on yet.
Enjoy it, woman.
Yeah. Okay.
It's such an odd.
I'm pretty sure that's the line on enjoy it, woman.
That's like how I want to live my life. That's like my live, laugh, love is enjoy it, woman.
Enjoy it, woman.
Okay. All right. So let's figure out where this is going to be. Okay. Here we go. Let's go to the back to the board. Okay.
I also love Jeff pose in this, because again, he tries to like be really intense. Yeah. Like, all right, we're gonna really get it. Like, he's the energetic camp counselor in the moment, which the kids seem to, like you said, he gets like a meh response to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. So, where should this go?
I feel like the lack of laughter from the audience, even there, kind of damns this a little bit.
Nothing's with Jai.
No,
we need to call that to your forget you go home good Jai, and so therefore nothing else can be in it besides Jai.
Oh, I really like that.
Okay, so is it better than Sophie Redux?
I like the Sophie Redux moment better than Jai describing the challenge. I think that's like a very just fun runner. Whereas as this Jeff thing is like, it's interesting, but I wouldn't say it's nearly as memorable maybe as the fact that both times Sophie has had loved ones out, she provides them with a laundry list of things to do when they get home.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I think this is perfect right where it is.
That's perfect right where it is. All right, let's take a look at the board right now.
Wow, yeah, this is so wildly weighted. I love it.
Okay. All right. So at the very bottom, the worst clip we found is Forget You, Go Home, Goodbye, Jai Lewis.
Yeah, because again, it's not particularly funny. I mean, it is, I think, entertaining to have him quibble with the host of the show that he has been invited to, but he cheated. Again, humor is subjective, so people can absolutely say if these clips are funny or not. But I do feel like maybe unlike these other ones, there's an element of the other 19 clips that this one doesn't necessarily have.
Okay. Here, then, we have 11 clips in Ain't No Hershey Bar. Okay. Starting with, from top to bottom, Eric and his brother. There's Jeff Probst just standing there. Second is Taj pulling Jeff Probst's arm clean out of the socket. Third is Hazel and Davey. Fourth is a representation of all loved ones' visits, where Jeff asks an unusual question.
I hear the derision in your voice, yes, Rob, as you're describing it.
And that, in that clip, Jeff asks Kara Kay about what is the relationship like between a brother and sister, because no one is the parent. Mm-hmm. We have Brian Heidick with a video visit from Cece. We have Rupert with a full makeout sesh with Laura. We have Malcolm and Miles. We have Jim and Helen. We have Matthew and a formal dinner with Mom. We have Sophie's shopping list and Jeff asking the kids to participate in the challenge.
Yeah, so I think this is the tier that probably it might have the most shuffling around, especially now that we look at the full spectrum of things, either ones that can be moved up out of this tier or just shuffling around in the tier itself.
Yeah. Lindsay, do you see things you want to move?
I mean, I feel like, jeez, I'm a little worried that Brian might be a little too low.
I kind of agree as well. Yeah. I know that we said at the time, like, yeah, this is fun. You know, it's weird. But I think considering the weird stuff we have given the bump to and the fact that the clips will come before it are like, you know, kind of chuckle worthy, but this has a lot in it. I do think that Cece Heidick holds a lot more weight in retrospect.
Okay. Yeah. How high should it go?
I think funnier than Davey, possibly funnier than Taj. Mike, you got to help me out here.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's just so much in the Cece Heidick clip, right? Again, there's her dancing.
That's what
there's
Clay said also.
Yeah, exactly. There's Clay's response to her dancing. There's Brian nervously coming apart at the seams as this is happening. There's Cece showing off the wealth. Like, there is actually a lot jam-packed in here to the point where I actually wouldn't be mad if this got put in My Life is Fine.
Whoa. It's a big bump.
I'm looking at it compared to these other moments, and I feel like this has more to it than, yeah, like, he's
some
just
of these
standing
things
there.
Are segments versus, like, oh, that was a funny line.
Mm-hmm. This is a segment. Maybe let's move it up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm good with that. Okay. But I do think it's behind Colby and his mom.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay.
Right. So I'm trying to look more in this bottom tier. I'm trying to think, I guess, you know, like, are Rupert and Laura too low? What do we think about Jim Glover? Is he too high or too low?
Lindsay.
He's the only other one that I might think about moving. I'm pretty happy with the rest of how this tier looks.
How high would Jim go?
Yeah. I feel like he could potentially go above Rupert and Laura, but Mike, I feel like you're pretty attached to them.
I mean, they're
both involved doing gross stuff with your mouth. Yeah,
100%,
I actually do like them back to back.
Yeah,
you know what? I would put Helen. I would put Jim above Rupert and Laura.
Yeah.
Because I think that as amorous and weird as it was for Rupert and Laura, I do just love the runner. That, you know, again, the loved one's visit is supposed to be sweet. And like, you know, oh my God, I can't believe you're here. And Helen is outright yelling at her husband, like, you better win this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Come on. She's basically she's like a hockey dad.
Yeah.
Right? She's like a stage mom.
I like the synergy also of like, Jim just completed that challenge and Laura is about to partake in it. And she's got to do a gross challenge and then compete against the other survivors.
Well played.
Yeah. The only other one that I would think of is, I wonder if it's worth it to swap Taj with Eric.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine with it either way.
Yeah, sure.
Taj and Eric? Sure. The synergy of like both of like pulling an arm here. Or pointing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. In response to Jeff Probst.
All right. In My Life is Fine. There are six moments. HB. Then sister, followed by Greg and his sister, the assistant coach, Colby and his mom, and Brian and Cece.
Yeah, I feel good about this. Is there any that we feel should be bumped up into worth playing for? Is the only question.
The only one that I feel a little bit bad about is Colby. He looks low now that I'm looking at this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. Because I like assistant coach more than Colby and his mom. Because again, assistant coach has so much comedy in it that it feels like it has to be above Colby's mom at least.
Yeah, fair.
Okay.
He brought his assistant coach out to the Survivor.
They're not doing anything weird.
All right.
Yeah, this is good, I think.
The top three.
Mm-hmm.
Dead Grandma, Perfection. Colby and Reed, and Cousin Robbie.
Yeah, I think so. I think this makes sense. You know, I personally would put like sister up there, but I understand why it's in My Life is Fine. I think these three.
I'd have it lower.
These three are very funny, very iconic, very memorable loved ones visits. They check all three boxes in that regard. And I think they're really three of the only clips to do so.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Lindsay, you're good.
These three are perfection. I love these three. Like, just off the top of my head, when I was
you're talking
like, okay,
about us, that's you're reading the comments.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we three are perfection.
Yeah. Who's which clip?
Let's see.
Oh God.
Well, Rob was sort of was like Colby in response to that Jeff Probst clip I pulled.
Yeah.
Damn it,
yeah,
Mike.
Damn it. I'm damn it, Reed. Let's see. Who's more likely to bark like a dog?
Oh, you know that's me,
Mike.
Okay. All right, and Lindsay, you're she died, dude.
I'll take it. I'll be Thunder D.
So there you go. All right. And that is your list. There you go. Well done.
Wow.
Beautiful. Okay.
Yeah, from season 1 to season 40. And, you know, the loved one's visit might look very different for what's to come on Survivor, right? The, given the restrictions that they're putting in, we might look at a very different loved one's visit.
Yeah.
So maybe some more moments might be made, or maybe this is a time where the loved one sort of gets a moratorium or a hiatus for the time being, and we can sort of crystallize what it's been for the first 20 years.
That's a really good point. I think that we will see a loved one's visit that looks more like the Survivor Australia loved one's visit of like the...
Are they going to be typing at home?
Yeah, I kind of feel like that we'll see the Zoom loved one's visit where I feel like that you couldn't not capitalize on that, where it's like you're shooting this during this time where you haven't been apart, or you know, you really will like family means so much to people. Like I think it would be like an emotional like mistake not to have it, but I understand like you couldn't like have somebody come out quarantine for 14 days and then you know, have them like participate in a loved one's challenge.
Well, especially considering that what usually happens is they bring out a good amount of them. And then obviously, as people are voted out and don't make the loved ones visit, they've been making a habit of making them visit at Ponderosa. But otherwise, it's like, all right, good. Thank you for staying here for 14 days. Goodbye. Go get on a plane. So it would be a little tougher to do. I could see something where maybe sort of in a callback to like a Survivor Africa or Survivor Thailand, you win a Zoom call from home would be a really interesting way to do it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else with the loved ones, Lindsay? Anything else? Any other observations over 40 seasons of loved ones?
TEOLOSLOV.
I think I flagged most of them along the way. I think it was interesting just to kind of see the evolution of, as you said, the evolution of the loved ones' visits. Like when all of a sudden Jeff's asking the weird questions, all of a sudden he's saying like the little girl is coming out. I really liked watching the people who hate the experience. That was really fun. But yeah, I think we covered most of it. This was very fun.
All right. Well, this was so much fun to go through. Lindsay, where can people check out more of what you're doing?
Yeah, so you can check me out. We are doing a rewatch podcast of BoJack Horseman. I'm doing that with the great Kirsten McInnes over on BoJack Horse Pod. Spoiler free. So if you've never seen it, you can check it out. And then I am also doing a Simpsons podcast with Alex Kuntz called Simpsons Then and Now. And we just did a very fun best musical moments bracket that you don't have to watch anything for. So
can you explain the concept of Simpsons Then and Now?
Yes. So every week we take two episodes that are sort of linked by a common theme. So something from the first like 1 to 10 seasons, and then something from later on in the show and that are linked together. And we sort of compare the themes and how the writing has changed and how the show has changed. And it's been very fun.
Lindsay, who would win at Simpsons trivia? You or Mike Bloom?
Oh, geez. If it was like seasons 1 to 8, I feel like it would be very competitive.
Yeah, exactly. But then like from then on, I'm not sure. I've certainly watched those episodes, but I'm not as keen on maybe the modern day canon. Should they do that with Survivor? Should there be a Survivor podcast where you watch like Survivor Borneo and Survivor Edge of Extinction and compare them?
No.
Yeah, maybe that's an interesting concept. And Lindsay, if you have some episodes like that, it's a long off season.
It's a very long off season, yeah. So maybe we can look at some common themes. And also, Mike, I could take you in trivia, I think.
Oh.
Yeah. I think so. I mean, maybe we could make a bonus podcast for Simpsons Then and Now. Yeah. I think pull out that old
have
like
Jordan Kalish come in for Simpsons trivia.
Yeah, that metallic box that had all those Simpsons trivia cards in it from back in the day. I think we can dust that thing off and let's get a question in.
Beautiful.
Okay. Mike, what's coming up for you?
I got a lot of things going on in the podcast sphere. Here on the reality TV home base, of course, Rob, you, me, and Jessica Lise are covering Tough as Nails, going into the back half of that. That has been a lot of fun so far. Shane and Gus and I, as I mentioned before, are finishing up our coverage of Survivor South Africa Champions. We are doing the finale next week. It has been a super fun, super ridiculous season to cover, and it really has sort of like whetted our appetites for season 8, which you say a long off season, but we're going to get some new Survivor coming in a little over 2.5 months. So that's going to be coming soon, including maybe some preseason tea from us that should be coming your way in a couple months. So be sure to check that out. And then, of course, over on the scripted side of things, Josh Wiggler and I are going down the hatch. If you want to see me talk about islands in a different variety, we are on the final bend towards the end of season 4, which has just been a really incredible time. My wife, Angela Bloom, and I are covering the X-Files on The Bloom Files, sort of like Lindsay. It's like relatively spoiler-free because I haven't seen the X-Files before. It's very weird, but it's been a lot of fun to cover. And then one more thing to pile onto the plate is I'm very excited to say that I have joined the Everything is Super team, Kevin Mahadeo and LaTanya Starks, to cover The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which is premiering this Friday on Disney Plus. It's going to be a really interesting show. We did a preview about it that got into a lot of stuff that we're at least primed to see. And it's going to be airing for 6 episodes over the course of the next 6 weeks, and podcasts will follow up on Monday. So a lot of stuff coming into your ears over the next period. We are really blessed to be alive with a lot of old and new reality and scripted TV at this moment. So I'm very grateful for the opportunity to talk about it for hours on end, including in stuff like this.
Yes. Mike, it's always a pleasure. I know we did not see eye to eye on this list as much today. I hope you...
That's fun.
Good. I hope you want to keep going and say that's it. Oh. Rob is no fun to make a list with.
Of course, no, Rob. You are the main person I would always want to make a list with. I'm not doing a Brian and CC of being like, all right, that's fine. We're just going to leave now. And sort of like not.
I would eat a tarantula for you, Mike.
I would eat three. I would eat a tarantula farm for you, Rob Cesternino.
I'm not sure I would eat a tarantula for the first lady of podcasting, but I would eat the cow's brain or pig's brain Malcolm ate that I watched this morning.
That's a fun like barometer, right? Like, let's move up the gross food chart. Like, how much would you eat balut for Nicole?
Should that be a list? Grossest gross food items.
I think that we're going to get a very niche audience, but I think they're going to really enjoy it. So I think we're really going to have to figure out if that's the case. Again, we also have plenty of these, I think, in the hopper to come. And also, if you are a patron of Rob Has a Podcast, Rob and I are going to be doing a Brant Steele.
Oh, yes. Next week.
Patrons. Yes. Next week. Lindsay herself competed in the very first one that we did. And it was a lot of fun. So if you're a patron of RHAP and you haven't signed up yet, you still get the opportunity to sort of enter yourself in the running to do a Brant Steele, where you're a contestant, Rob and I talk it through. We occasionally go to you to sort of give your own backstory behind the choices that you are not actually making. It's a really, really fun time. I'm sure Lindsay can attest to that.
Yes, it was a real roller coaster of a season. Hard to justify some of my own actions, but it was very fun.
All right, then on Rob Has a Podcast, so much stuff going on. Of course, talk about Survivor Kara Mowen. The 30th best season. Cochran himself tweeted that he felt like that these rankings were he was very hurt by the rankings. Don't blame me.
Yeah, not hurts worse than the sunburn. I mean, listen, no offense to Cochran. I'm going to throw this out here as a preemptive piece of feedback for the discussion you're having with Akiva and Ali. I think Kara Mowen has the worst pre-merge ever.
Worst pre-merge ever.
Chew on that.
Yeah. Like some of the gross food that Cochran and Malcolm ate. We will think about it. Was this the worst pre-merge ever? That will be on the table when we talk about Survivor Kara Mowen. Wasn't Cochran's fault. Don't blame Cochran.
No, you can't say Cochran, you screwed the season over.
Yeah. A lot of other stuff going on. 90 Day Fiance with myself and Puya Zambichilli. We had Sasha Joseph on this week to talk about everything going on in the world of a 90 Day Fiance. I had a lot of fun on Monday night. I've been doing the Monday night Big Brother Canada recap. That's sort of like the level setting night for the week of Big Brother Canada. Like, if you're looking for a night, like, hold on, will somebody hold my hand? I haven't been exactly following everything that's going on. That's where I come in. We're going to go ahead and we're going to just slow everything down a little bit, talk about what's going on the TV show and the week ahead on Big Brother Canada. And of course, plenty more going on. Tough as nails. We're going to be talking about Beauty and the Geek with Jenny Autumn this week, myself and Chappelle on the RJP Rewind. So lots of fun stuff going on. RobinsonWebsite.com for everything we're doing. And RobinsonWebsite.com/patron. Find out everything we have going on in our patron podcast feed. All right. Lindsay, this was so much fun to get back together with you. All right.
Yeah, so much fun.
Until next time, take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye. Support for this podcast comes from our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and it's hard work, but you know it's easy bundling with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance, and it's a good thing too. You're busy enough. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Need an escape? Drop into Pluto TV for a world of free TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah, free. No subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android, iPhone, Roku, and Fire TV and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.